Shaila was, should we give it, should we learn Sanhedrin, or should we learn in Yana de Yama?
He lost the vote, he didn't want to come.
So what are most of the people interested in doing?
We were told it would be on Yana de Yama.
Okay. Very good. I prepared two shiurim. Okay. In Aseres and Etshuva, the Gemara says that the Nusach HaBracha is changed in two of the Brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. Instead of HaKel HaKadosh, we say HaMelech HaKadosh. Instead of Oyev Tzedakah HaMishpat, we say HaMelech HaMishpat. And then the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that that's Ma'akeh B'di'evet. If a person said HaKadosh, instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, he's Yotzei. And if he said Oyev Tzedakah HaMishpat, we say Melech Oyev Tzedakah HaMishpat all year long. So we mention Melech. So by Ashkenazim, since we mentioned Melech, even if he didn't say Melech HaMishpat, B'di'evet one would be Yotzei. But if a person said Melech HaTashem Oyev Tzedakah HaMishpat, he didn't say Melech Oyev Tzedakah HaMishpat, that would also be Mi'ake B'di'evet. Then the Balei HaTaisus quote from the Gaonim that they introduce an additional four piyutim that we add in the Shemoneh Esrei and Aseres Metshuva. He says Archeinu L'chaim, and you say Mechmoch Averachmim, and so on. Taisus is of the opinion that this is also Ma'akeh B'di'evet. That's not the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch. We assume that these are piyutim. It's not, it wasn't introduced, doesn't appear in the Gemara. It was introduced by the Gaonim, so the piyutim are not Ma'akeh. The same thing on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we in the Rambam quotes in Aseres Meitshuva, the minig was that they would include in Atah Kodesh Shimcha Kodesh, Abchein Tein Pachtecha, a few extra paragraphs. So that's not Mi'akeh B'di'evet. If a person by mistake forgot it, so he doesn't have to daven over. That was the first shaila that I had when I was in the practicing rabbinate, that on Rosh Hashanah afternoon, they daven mincha, and the Baal Tefila after Kedusha said, and he said, Melech HaKadosh. He forgot to say, V'chein tein pachtecha. So everybody looked to me, what's the din? So the din is that B'di'evet, you're yotzei with that. That's a piyut. That's not Mi'akeh B'di'evet. On Rosh Hashanah, also, it's not Mi'akeh B'di'evet. Even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's not Mi'akeh B'di'evet. Many have the minig that when the Chazan repeats the Chazaras HaShatz, so we say along with the Chazan the last two Haskaras and the Shemoneh Esrei, which are the last two, Sefer Chaim Baruch HaVisholam, and then Chesed Chaim Tevim called B'nei B'risech. Many have the meaning that you don't say along with the Chazan the first two, Zorchein V'lachayim, and you don't say along Mechamocha Av HaRachmim. Over here, the Yekes in Washington Heights, the old-timers have this meaning from Europe, and the B'nei Yisoschar has a sefer, B'nei Yisoschar, and when he writes about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he writes that's the meaning. Rav Soloveitchik also remembered that was the meaning. And he gives, B'nai Yisoscha gives some kind of an explanation that the Tosis raises an issue. How do you have the right to add on Bakoshes? In the Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achronis, the Gemara says that you introduce your Tefillah with Shevach and you conclude with Hodoyah. In the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei is supposed to be the Bakoshes Sarochim. So, Chsov L'chaim Tevim, B'sev L'chaim Baruch B'sharm, etc., these are Bakoshes. So how do you have a right to add these on B'chlam? So Tosfos defends it. So somehow Tzorchei Rabim, Tosfos says, you're not allowed to add Tzorchei Yochid, Bakoshes of Yochid, but Tzorchei Rabim you're allowed to add because Sim Shalom Tovei Brocha, the whole thing is a Bakosha. The whole last Brocha, the Shemoneh Esrei, is a Bakosha, but it's a Bakosha for the Tzorchei Rabim, so that's permissible. So Tosfos defends it. So somehow when Rav Soloveitchik was explaining why there's a difference between the first two and the last two, that what the meaning only is that the Tzibah says along the last two. So I tuned off my hearing aid because I didn't understand what he was talking about and I wasn't paying attention. I should have. A lot of times the Gemara says you don't fully understand what the Rebbe said till after 40 years. If you paid attention, then 40 years later maybe you'll be zecha to understand. If you didn't pay attention, see, I didn't pay attention, so I didn't. So I don't know what he said, but he started to say something along the lines of what the B'nai Yisoscha says. The Gimel Rishani says Shevach, the Gimel Achmanis says Haidoya, and that's why there's a difference, and I didn't understand. The B'nai Yisoscha has it in Hasidisha language, which I don't understand that language, and Rav Soloveitchik said it in down-to-earth language, and I didn't pay attention, so I'm not sure what he said. But many have that meaning. Rabbi Teitz, Zechana Lebracha, from Elizabeth, used to say that he learned in Telzi Yeshiva in Europe. He said in Telzi Yeshiva, they also had the minig only to say the last two with the chazan. They didn't say the first two. They gave a very simple explanation why. Not such a fancy gimel rishonis, a gimel achronis. He said just zechreinu l'chaim, say shem Hashem, l'mancho l'kim chaim. So tzach hashash amotzi shem shamayim levatolam. If you're saying it as part of the Shema Nesra, okay. But the chazan is saying, repeating the chazor hashash. So why should we mention shem Hashem if you're saying along? Then Michamoch Avarachmim is not even a bakasha; it's just a shevach of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It's like the other shvach, Mechal Kachaim Mechesed, Mechay Meizim Rachmim Ram. Michamoch, who is like you, Zerich Yitzur Lachaim Rachmim, but not asking for anything. So he explained that a local reason for Zechain Lachaim and a local reason for Michamoch, why you don't say along. Anyway, but that was the minig. Apparently, I was not there in the Altahein, but that was the minig by Hasidim and by Misnagdim. That was a very widespread minig. Only to say along with the chazan the last. That's not there if you say the other two, but apparently that wasn't the minig. Here in the yeshiva, they're supposed to be davening Nusach Ashkenaz, and in Nusach Ashkenaz you don't say Shira Malos in between Yishtabach and the Kaddish. The Magen Avraham quotes the Arizal who introduced this to say Shira Malos, and he's not happy with the minig Arizal. So the minig is Nusach Svard. Those are Davin Nusach Ariya. Those are Davin Nusach Svard. So they say Shira Malos. In the yeshiva, this was established as a Lithuanian yeshiva. They always had Minhagim, Lithuanian Minhagim. They're different slichas. They always say Lithuanian slichas. So here in the yeshiva, the minig should have been not to say Shira Malos, but over here they had a practice that the Bali Tefillah, who Davin for an Amud, would hijack the Amud. They would decide to say whatever nusach they wanted, which was not right. But basically, the meaning of the yeshiva is that we don't say Shira Malos. Magen Avraham taines that it's a hefsek. So Rav Soloveitchik was brought up in a Lubavitcher community. His father was a rabbi in Chaslavich. Chaslavich was a Lubavitcher community. He explained why they always had Litvish Rabbanim from Balozhin in this Lubavitcher community. He explained that when Napoleon was waging his war, so there was a big machlokes among the tzaddikim whether it makes sense to pray that Napoleon should win the war or lose the war, because Napoleon promised emancipation to the Jews. If he wins the war, he's going to free the Jews, going to treat them like human beings. So most of the tzaddikim thought we should pray that Napoleon should win the war, will be treated like equal citizens. And the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and a small group of Rabbeim were opposed. They thought if the Jews will have emancipation, Shamanta Abisa Kosisa, that they won't observe the mitzvahs. The Gemara says in the first Perek Chagiga that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking through all the different midas, which mida to give the Jewish people, and he decided the mida of Anius is the best mida, poverty. The Jews don't know how to deal with wealth. When they have emancipation and freedom and wealth, then they shamanta avisa kosisa. They don't know how to deal with that. How to deal with adversary under difficult conditions, that we know how to remain observant, how to keep mitzvahs when you're poor. When you're rich, it's not. So the Alter Rebbe was praying that Napoleon should lose the war. In fact, the story goes that the Rebbe is all made up at that time, that when you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, shofar is a form of tefillah. So they all felt that whoever's going to blow shofar first, that Rosh Hashanah, his prayers will be answered. So one of the rebbes told his chassidim, usually chassidim daven a little later on every day. So he told chassidim, this time they're going to daven vasikin, and they're going to leave out all the piyutim, they're going to daven quickly, no mishaberachs, so that they'll get the tkir shofar quickly, because they wanted their prayers to be answered, then Napoleon should win. And when they blew shofar by this rebbe, I already forgot which rebbe it was, one of the real rebbes. Original generation of Rebbes. So he felt that he lost already. He felt as if the Balatani must have blown shofar already. So a couple of months later, he met up with the Balatani. He asked him, I understand that you must have blown shofar on Rosh Hashanah before us. How did you get there so fast? I started Basna. We left that opiyutim, we davened quickly, everything. We left that. He said, no. Alter Rebbe said he felt that it was such an important issue, he blew shofar before Shachris. That's what they all thought. Whoever's going to blow shofar first, his tefillahs will be answered. He felt it's important that Napoleon should lose, that the Jews should not get emancipation. So the Alter Rebbe had Hasidim who lived in France. So they used to spy on all of the French army, and they used to give all of the secrets, all the plans to the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe passed it on to the Russians, so the Russians should know what the French are planning, to see to it that Napoleon should lose. So the French government found out about this, and they decided to have to kill Schneerson, to have to kill the Alter Rebbe. So they found out through their secret agents that he was in the, he was visiting this village in Kaslavich. So they surrounded the whole city with soldiers, and they were going to go search from house to house to search the city to find Schneerson and to kill him, because he was responsible for the espionage. He was giving all the secrets to the Russians. So the Chassidim didn't know what to do. So they decided, Rav Soloveitchik used to tell over this story. So Chassidim, they went to the Rav in the city. The Rav happened to be a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin, from Volozhin Yeshiva, a big misnagid. So they didn't know whether he would agree to hide out the Rebbe. So they asked him, would he agree to hide out the Rebbe when the soldiers come knocking on the door? Would he tell a lie that the Rebbe is not there? Maybe because he's the rabbi, maybe they'll take his word for it and they won't search the whole house. So he said he disagrees with the Rebbe in Hashkafa and Amunah. He doesn't accept his Nusach of Avodas Hashem, but he would never master a Jew to the French soldiers. They should hide their Rebbe in his house. So when the soldiers came knocking on the door, they asked, they were looking for Schneerson, do you know where he's hiding? So he put on a whole act. He said, Schneerson, the man is an apikiris, he's a Russian, he's destroying the Jewish religion, give me Schneerson, I'll choke him to death with my own hands. Gave such a whole act. So they figured they don't have to search in his house. He wants to kill him. He wants to throttle him to death with his own hand. So they went to the next house to see where he's hiding. So he hid out there a couple of days till the soldiers left. And then when he came out of hiding, so he made a comment and he said that sometimes it's a mazel that you have a Masnagd Sharov in a Chassidish city. So from that time on, they always had a Masnagd Sharov. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik's father was, the Rav in Chaslavich. He was also from Volozhin Yeshiva. So Rav Soloveitchik was used to Nusach Ari and Minhagim of Lubavitch. He was brought up with that for many years. So he wanted to introduce Shir HaMalos, but the Magen Avraham says that it's not right. It's a hepsik. Shouldn't have it after Yishtamach. So for many years he introduced it at the end of Nishmas Kol Chai, right before Yishtamach. He had them say Shir HaMalos. So then after many years of having that practice, someone brought to his attention that the Chayodim quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if a person has to abridge Pesukah de Zimra because he came to shul late, but he says very slowly, so then he cannot abridge it like on the weekdays, just say Baruch Shama Ashrei Yishtabach. You have to say Baruch Shama Ashrei and Nishmas through Yishtabach, because Nishmas is the beginning of the bracha. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, the bracha begins from Nishmas and it goes through Yishtabach. So you can't say Shira Malas after Nishmas before Yishtabach. Mamash Ahepsik in the middle of a bracha. It's a bigger problem. Magen Avraham is not happy why you say Shira Malos after Yishtabach, before Kaddish. It's a hepsik, Ben Yishtabach Liyotzer, it's a hepsik. Here it's a bigger hepsik in the middle of the bracha. How come Rav Soloveitchik didn't think of this? He didn't realize this. Apparently his family tradition was that Nishmas Kol Chai is just a piyut, not like the Chayodim quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon. This new sefer that just came out a couple of months ago, the Talmidim of Rabban Leib Steinman, put together, unless they used the computer, they put together every place in his forum and every place in the tapes of his shiurim that he said anything about brisk, and they put together a whole sefer. Then they put together every place that he ever said anything about the chalish, and he put together another sefer. And they showed it to him before they printed it, and he approved of it, and he added on, took off little things. So they quote there in the sefer on brisk that Rab Chaim never said nishmas on Shabbos. Rab Chaim never said nishmas kol chaim. He thought that it's against the Takanas Chachamim to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriya Shema, because in Nishmas Kol Chai we say Mitzrayim Galtan Beis Avodim Pidisonu. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for doing Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he felt you're not supposed to chapois, you're not supposed to say Yetzias Mitzrayim until you get to Kriya Shema. So he never said Nishmas Kol Chai. That's the Chayodim quotes the Vilna Gaon, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov the Bracha of Yishtabach begins with Nishmas. So apparently Rabbi Soloveitchik was never bothered with this. But when someone brought it to his attention, so he realized that the people had tarumas, so he said, okay, so let them say the Shir HaMalos after Rosh Yoshe, before you start Nishmas Kol Chai. if you want to hold, you want to follow the Vilna Gaon, the Shmas Kol Chai is the beginning of the bracha, so he introduced that you should say Shir Malas before. You can add on, you add on more prokim, you add on more prokim of Tilim to the Psukah de Zim. By Nusach Svar, they add on more prokim than Ashkenaz has. They have more prokim from Tilim. The only thing is that in the Sefer Emek Bracha, Sefer Emek Bracha is on Orachaim, and Yoni Orachaim, and a little bit Yoridei. It was written by a fellow who was very close to Rav Elbala Soloveitchik. He lived in Brisk, so he learned by Rav Elbala many years. And he quotes a lot from Rav Soloveitchik. So he raises the question on this Magen Avraham, what is Magen Avraham worried about Hepsik over here? That if you say Shira Malas in between Yishtabach and Yetzirah, that's a Hepsik. He's not talking about the weather, he's not talking about politics. He's saying another Perek and Tehillim. So the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tefillah, the Rambam's meaning was he didn't have Oz Yosher in the middle of Psukah de Zima. Why not? Because if you say Shirei David Abdecha Nalech on Shabbechacho, and Oz Yosher is not Shirei David Abdecha. So Psukah de Zima is supposed to be only from Tehillim, Shirei David Abdecha. So the Rambam had a minig. He writes the Ramakimus where they say Oz Yosher after Yishtabach, before Kaddish. So you see the Rambam holds that it's not a Hapsik. He can add on things to the Psukah de Zimra after Yishtabach also. So what's so bad if you add on Shira Malas? Was the Magen Avraham so upset about that? That's what the Dogma of Rava asked. Dogma of Rava, the Haoris of the Nadi Behuda printed on the side of the page. So the Dogma of Rava asks on the Magen Avraham, what's he so excited about the Hapsik issue? If the Rambam writes, the meaning was to say Oz Yosher. So the Emek Brocha writes, Oz Yosher is not a problem. The Rambam, they didn't introduce Oz Yosher in the middle of Psukah de Zimra because it's not from Tehillim. And the Psukah de Zimra is supposed to be Shirei David Avdecha from Tehillim. But if you say it after Yishtabach, it's a Hemshech of Psukah de Zimra. It's also Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Shira Malas that we say is Tachanunim. That's not a Shevach, so it doesn't fit in at all. It doesn't fit in at all. So according to what the Emek Brocha says, it would be a bigger problem if you're going to introduce Shira Malas before Nishmas, again introduced in the middle of Psukah de Zimra, it's going to be a bigger problem than if you say it after. It doesn't fit into the Psukah de Zimra. It's not Zemer. It's not Zmiris v'Sishbach HaStakarish Baruch Hu. It's Tachnunim. It's a Bakosha. They're different Pirkei Tehillim. Some of them are Shevach, and some of them are Bakoshas, and some of them are Limut, Hashkafa, Emunah, talks about Emunah, different types of Prokim. So in Nusach Svar, they add on more to the Psukah de Zimra. They add on more Pirkei Tehillim that are Shevach, but they don't add on Pirkei Tehillim that are Tachnunim. So that's why it's questionable. Anyway, the Minhag Ashkenaz is that we don't say Shir HaMalas. We're not supposed to say Shir HaMalas. The Chayodom, when I was growing up, we used to learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in elementary school, and then when you graduated and you started high school, you went to Chayodom. And we never learned Mishnah Berurah at all. I didn't have a Mishnah Berurah until a few years after I was married. My wife bought me a birthday present. I think we were married 6 years. Here in Yeshiva, we never had any Mishnah Berurahs. They never had any Mishnah Berurahs. But Rav Soloveitchik gave Shiur Ma'ariv HaChaim. We used the Magen Avraham and the Machzah Shekel and the Prima Gadim in the back. No one had a Mishnah Berurah. But so we used the Chayodom. When we were in high school, we learned Chayodom. So the Chayodom points out that Zecheinu L'chaim Melachavitz B'chaim, according to the Rekeach, he quotes the Rekeach counts every word and every letter of every tefillah in the Shemana Esrei. It's supposed to be everything al pi kabbalah, so many letters, so many words. So he says, according to the Rekeach, there are too many letters in Zecheinu L'chaim. So he throws out two letters that is to correspond to the number it's supposed to be. So instead of saying V'chasveinu B'sefer HaChayim, he leaves out the Vav of V'chasveinu and the Hey of HaChayim, and you say Chasveinu B'sefer HaChayim instead of V'chasveinu B'sefer HaChayim. Then he says also that when you say Kemoshi Adanu Hashem HaKenu Shal Sholton Lofanecha, so he thinks that the word Kemo should be left out because there are too many words. Also based on the Rekeach counts every word, too many words, so he throws out the word Kemoshi Adanu. And some used to say Shahashilton Lofanechem, he says the correct pronunciation should be Shahashilton Lofanechem. Then there are two nischois where they say V'chalarisha kula bi oshen tichla kula ki oshen tichla. So the Chayodma thinks that the more correct, the both expressions appear in Tanakh about the evil being burnt up in a smoke or like smoke. So he thinks that more correct to say kula biyosh and tichla instead of kiyosh and tichla. The Gemara never says that you're supposed to change the nusach of the last bracha and brachas amisol b'shalom, but that's nusach Ashkenaz was like that, that they changed it to oseh hashalom. And nusach Svard was that you say hamvarachas hamisol b'shalom and you don't change it. So the Vilna Gaon is famous, Rabbi Chaim Elozhen quoted the Vilna Gaon that it's not proper to change the nusach of the bracha. The Gemara never said you should change the nusach. So more, even though the Vilna Gaon dav nusach Ashkenaz, probably daven nusach Hashkenaz. Here and there he touched it up a little bit, but the last bracha oisah hashalom, he said hamvarachas hamisol b'shalom. He didn't say oisah hashalom. And also, when you have Nisias Kapayim, so the meaning in Ashkenaz was that the Chazan changes the bracha instead of Hamachzeh Shchenos Halitzin, he says Shavus Cholabat Chabiyira Na'avoy. So Rabbi Chaim Elozhen quotes from the Vilna Gaon, he was opposed to that. The Gemara never says he's supposed to change the Nusach HaBrocha. Shavus Cholabat Chabiyira Na'avoy was the Nusach HaBrocha in the Tefillah that they said Bizman Shav Beis Hamikdash HaYikar Min Beis Hamikdash. They said that meant avoidus akarbonus. They were talking about avoidus akarbonus. So duchening is compared to an avoida. The Gemara says there are halachas that the pasuk says the kohanim were chosen l'shorso u'levarach bishmo. They were chosen l'shorso to do hakrovus akarbonus u'levarach bishmo and to duchen. And we learn that from a pasuk that the hakrovus akarbonus has to be in a state of amido. The kohen has to be standing in the azara. If he's sitting or he's kneeling on the floor, the avoida will be possible. So the same is true regarding duchening. The Kohanim have to stand when they duchen. And the Tzibur has to stand. We assume that Tzibur has to stand. Doesn't really say in the Gemara. The Poskim say the Tzibur has to stand also because it has to be ponim, kereget ponim. So once you've established with Shosa the Baruch Bishmo that the Kohen has to stand, so if the Tzibur is not going to stand, it's not going to be ponim, kereget ponim. So everybody has to stand. So because there is a hekesh between duchening, the Siyas Kapayim, and the Sheirus, and Hakrovas HaKarbonis, so that's why Nusach Ashkenaz developed this practice that they change the Nusach when you duchen. So you say the Yikim Mitzvah of duchening is really in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says duchening is, Gemara says in Saito, all the dinim of the Siyas Kapayim, in Perik Eil and Amorim, because the Mishnah lists off which mitzvahs of Amir can be fulfilled in translation and which have to be in the original Hebrew, Kichsovoi. So the Nisias Kapayim has to be Davke Kirchsovi. You're not Yoytz in Nisias Kapayim. If you say in translation, you have to pronounce the words in Hebrew properly. You have to pronounce them correctly. So that's why all the halachas of Nisias Kapayim appear there in Masech HaSoit and Perek Ela Namar. So that's why the Minig Ashkenaz had it, that you change the Nusach, shows Cholabat Chabir Anab, in connection with Duchening, we talk about Avoid, because the Duchening is Hukash to Avoid. So the Rabbi Chaim Elozhen quotes from the Vilna Gaon that he thought that that's not right. You shouldn't change the Nusach HaBrocha. You should say Amachzeh Shchinos HaLetzion. Once you're going to say Amachzeh Shchinos HaLetzion, then you say the other Nusach is going to be a little different. The Mishnah Berurah quotes up Yankev Emden, who wrote a Sefer on the tour on Aruch Chaim that's called Morik Tzia. Rabbi J.J. Schechter was involved in a recent reprinting of the Morik Tzia, and he put in a whole introduction there because his doctoral dissertation was on Rabbi Yankev Emden. So he put in a whole introduction there. So this Morik Tzia is quoted, Mishnah Berurah quotes it every so often. He quotes Rabbi Yankev Emden. A lot of times they disagree, a lot of things Rabbi Yankev Emden says. So this one also, Mishnah Berurah says he's dead wrong, 100% wrong. He says that duchening is only the raisa in the Beis HaMikdash. Chutz le-Beis HaMikdash, duchening is only the Rabbanim, because the Gemara says in Saitan, that sugya, the duchening is only done at the conclusion of Hakrabas Karbanas Tzibur. So if you don't have Karbanas Tzibur, so there's no duchening the raisa. So the Mishnah Berurah has a footnote on the bottom of the page. He has the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha and the Shaar HaTzion, and he has an asterisk. And then he puts on the bottom of the page, on the bottom of the Shaar HaTzion, he quotes this Rabbi Yankev Emden. He says he's dead wrong. There are befevish arayas, that duchening is their raisa, even outside of the Beis Hamikdash. That's Takya question. He's wrong, but isn't he right? The Gemara Sof Kol Sof does say that duchening is only done at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbanas Tzibur, because it's a chelik of the Shaar Sol Levarach Bishmai. It's a chelik of Hakpa. It's like Avaida. So how do we have duchening their raisa outside of the Beis Hamikdash? Rav Soloveitchik used to say over. The Keren Oira, was the younger brother of the Mishkanes Yankov. Mishkanes Yankov learned in Valozhin. He was one of the early Talmidim in Valozhin. He used to go visit Valozhin. He was the Rav in Yankel Karlina. He was the Rav in Karlin. And they were Karlina Hasidim, Stolen Hasidim. Stolen and Karlina are twin cities. It's 5 minutes away from each other. He walked from one side of the city to the other. So that's Stolen, that's Karlin. So he has several of the tshuvas he has to disagree with the practices that the Hasidim had. That Tefillin HaChalamayit, he disagrees with them, even though he knows that the Vilna Gaon also didn't wear Tefillin HaChalamayit, but he ignores that. So he just attacks the Chassidim that they're wrong, Alpi Kabbalah, and Alpi Nigla, and Alpi Nista, it's wrong, he's supposed to wear Tefillin HaChalamayit. Okay, he has a lot about green Asregim. Chassidim would be Mahara to have green Asregim based on a Zohar. So he says they mistranslated the Zohar. The word Yoruk in Hebrew doesn't mean green, the word Yoruk means brown or yellow. Yoruk Kikarsi means green. So the Zohar talks about Esregim that a Yorokim, Yorok means brown or yellow. That's a yellow Esreg, that's what it's supposed to be. Not supposed to be green. Green is puzzle. Quoting him, green Esreg is puzzle. Yorok Akars. Anyway, so the Mishkanes Yankov has a tshuva about this topic, and his younger brother, who wrote the Keren Ayra, has on the Gemara Saita, he quotes the Mishkanes Yankov, he elaborates on it. How do we have Duchening Deraisa? So Rav Soloveitchik said it over that. When we daven in the weekdays and we say Shema Kaleinu Chus Rachem Aleinu, that's the concluding brocha and brochas Hamtoya. So we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should listen to our prayers and should answer our prayers. Then the very next brocha, he say Yotzei Hashem Lakeinu Ba'am Chisol Levisvi Losam. Ribbono Shel Olam should accept our prayers. That's what we just said. The last brocha and the brochas Hamtoya is Shema Kaleinu Kabla Brachman Baratzen Estrel Seinu Shemei Tefila. What do you say again? Yotzei Ba'am Chisol Levisvi Losam. So the throughout this part, Rav Soloveitchik explained that the expression Ritzui is a technical term that usually appears in connection with Ruba de Ruba. It appears in Tanakh in connection with Hakrobus Bonus. If you have a korban that's possible, so it says in the Mishnah, Lo Hurtza. If the korban is kosher, so it says Hurtza. There's a concept of Ritzui Tzitz. If the Kohen Gadol is wearing the Tzitz, so even if a korban was brought Betumah, the carbon will be kosher. The tzitz is meratza. So vitzu is a technical term that ruba de ruba appears in Tanakh. That's what the Balatanya writes. Ruba de ruba appears in Tanakh in connection with akrovas akarbonas. So the two brachas are not the same. Shema kaleinu chus rachma aleinu is a prayer HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our prayers. Then we say, Ritzei, v'am chisol v'isvi losam, accept the prayers as if we would have offered a carbon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the prayers. So then it's considered as if it was a carbon. So when a yochid, there's a carbon yochid and there's a carbon tzibur. So when a yochid davens and he says, Ritzei b'am chisol v'sfilosom, he succeeds in converting a tfilos ha-yochid into a carbon yochid. When the chazan davens tfilos ha-tzibur, it's not that the chazan is davening for himself. The chazan is, chazan's tfilos considered tfilos ha-tzibur. That was the first year Rav Soloveitchik said when he came to America. The students went to the boat. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was a Rebbe here in Yeshiva, so he took all the students to the dock to greet his son when he came from Europe. And then the next day he gave a shiur in the Yeshiva. That was the shiur that he said on Chazaras HaShatz. So this is a Shilti Gibor, has like this on the side of the Rif in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So just like the Korban Yochid, there's a Korban Tzibur, different halachas. So there's a Tfilas HaYochid and there's a Tfilas HaTzibur. When the Chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei, it's not just that he's saying Shmoneh Esrei, he's enabling everybody to say Kedusha. The Tfilas HaShatz, Chazaras HaShatz, is considered Tfilas HaTzibur. The Gemara says even the people who don't show up in Shul are Yotzei with the Chazaras HaShatz. Like when the makariv a karbonas tzibur in the Beis Hamikdash, the tefillin and musafim. So the Jews all over the world are yotzei with the karbonas tzibur. So the chazaras hashatz is mostly all the people in that city. The whole tzibur, the people in that city are yotzei with the chazaras hashatz. So when a yochid says shema kolein and then he says ritzei b'am chisol v'sfilosam, his prayer is considered as if it had been converted into a korban yochid. When the chazan davens tefilos atzibur and he says Ritzei b'am chisol v'sfilosam, so it's considered as if he has succeeded in converting the tefilos atzibur into a korban tzibur. So when the chazan finishes the Shmon Esrei, it's the conclusion of hakrovas korbanas tzibur on the level of their isa, and that's why we assume that you are mechuyev to duchim in atar. Rabbi Yankov Hamdan is right Duchening is only done at the conclusion of Hakrobas Kabanas Tziba. But when the Chazan finishes the Shmona Esrei, he says, we'd say that Tfilah is considered as if we have succeeded in converting the Tfilah Satziba into a Korban Tziba. That's exactly the meaning of the next piyut, that we have Biser Balach Asiraseinu. Our prayer should be accepted, should be pleasant, should be Areven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ka'olach HaKorban, as if we had brought a Korban. When we say that piyut, we're just spelling out what it says with Tzeb Yam Chisol of Isfilosam. That's the same thing, but we want to emphasize it because that's what enables us to duchen. The converting of the Tfilos HaTzibur into the Korban Tzibur enables us to have the Nesiyas Kapai. Reb Shlomo Levilna has this also in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo. He has Tshuvas on Chelek Arachayim. He also has like that. The B'Serah V'Alecha Siroseinu is just spelling out what it says in the Bracha, and that's what enables the Kohen to duchen. That's why the Gemara has a din. If the Kohen didn't, Okaraglavi, didn't start walking to duchen until the Chazan finishes Hamachzas Chinasa L'Tzion, so he's not allowed to duchen. Because it's this Bracha, Ritzei Be'am Chizol V'Sfilosam, that enables us to duchen. It's considered the Gemara of Hakrobas Karbonat Tzibur when the Chazan says this Bracha. So again, in that piyut that we have Sarav Alecha Siraseinu, so the Gemara says halach, you have to have somach lachasima meyena chasima. So if the chasima is going to be like the old Nusach Ashkenaz was, shoz cholavat chabira navoid, so then you end off that piyud, v'sham navoid chabira kemei alam achshanim kadbaniyas. You say v'sham navoid chabira, we will do avoidus hakarbonis in the Beis Hamikdash. But if you're going to do the Vilna Gaon, you're not going to change the Nusach. You're going to say hamachzeh shchinos ha-letzion. So then you should say v'sechzein aneinim shuvcha letzion berachmim efter v'sham navodcha. So here in the yeshiva, this yeshiva was originally a combination of two yeshivas. Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, after he passed away, he was the big pesach in Europe. So when he passed away, the late 1800s, so they founded one yeshiva on the east side. Then they founded another yeshiva that was called Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim was the name of Valozhina yeshiva, founded by Rabbi Chaim Valozhina. So our yeshiva now is a combination of the two. But they were both Nusach Litte, Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Litte. So they had a lot of minhagim from Valozhina yeshiva. So here, the minhag is like the Vilna Gaon, that you don't say, Shos Chalavat Chabira Navad. We used to have people who hijacked the Omer. So they said whatever they want. They said, Oysa HaShalom. And the Rabbanim would talk themselves blue, explaining to the Baal Tefillah why you shouldn't say that. Baal Tefillah had the Omer, and he said whatever he don't please. They never listened to the Rabbanim. So here, the minhag is like in Valozhin, that you say, Hamachzeh Shchinos HaLetzion. So you say, the last thing you say in Veserav, you should rearrange the sentence. Sarav Alecha Siraseinu, Ona Racham, Hashem Shchinos HaLetzion, Nerech V'Seid Abod Yerushalayim, Misham Labot Chabir, Kamei Alam Achshanim Kadman Yos, Sechazen Reinein, B'Shuvach HaLetzion, Berachamim, then you say, Hamachzeh Shchinos HaLetzion, because that's Somach Lachasima, Me'ein Achasima. Once you add on this piyut of Sarav Alecha Siraseinu, so the piyut should end with Samach Lachasima, Me'ena Chasima, whatever the Chasima is going to be. So that's what the Baal Tefillah did over here. In the Seder Avoda on Yom Kippur, in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo in the 1500s, the Nusach Ashkenaz was better than Nusach Sfarad. Nusach Sfarad was full of a lot of mistakes. So the Beis Yosef in his commentary on the tour he takes over a whole page. Usually you have a little bit of the tour in the middle, but you have a page of Gemara, and then you have Rashi and Tosfos on the side. And once in a long, long, long while, you have one page in Shas, I think, where there's no Gemara. There's only Tosfos, one daf in Ozer, I think. But there's no Gemara, there's only Tosfos. So the Beis Yosef, every 200 pages or so, there's a page that only has Beis Yosef, that has no. So in Hilchos Yom Kippur, by the Seder Aveda, Beis Yosef took over the whole page. And he corrected Nusach Sfarad. So after he corrected it, so then for many centuries Nusach Sfarad was better than Nusach Ashkenaz. The Lechayodim came along and he touched up the Nusach Ashkenaz. So we should really say, but the printers who printed Nusach Sfarad followed what it says in the Beis Yosef. The printers who printed Nusach Ashkenaz did not look in the Lechayodim. So they didn't put in the correction. So right now, as it stands right now, the Nusach Sfarad is more correct than the Nusach Ashkenaz. So those are Daven. Nusach Ashkenaz should correct it based on what it says in the Beis, based on what it says in the Chayodim. All of the Karbonis are out of order.
Regarding what Rabbi said with Birkas Kohanim, the fact that it transforms it, the Ritzei transforms it to a a carbon seaboard, so that would make it the horizon, make the Birkas Kamen the horizon.
That's what they assume, right? That's what the Acharonim assume, that this works on the level of their Eisen. When you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, say, Am Chisol B'Sfilosam, he accepts that prayer, and he accepts the Tfilos as if it had been HaKrovos Karbonos. Yeah, it's a Din Der Eisen. Whatever the Rabban Shalom said is a Din Der Eisen. Whatever the Chachamim invented is a Din Der Rabban Shalom. The Gemara has, towards the very end of Megillah, the last known base of Megillah, the Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu is going to give marriage to Israel, so he said, "Bamaida ki Rashenu." What does it mean? How do I know you're going to keep your promise? He doubts whether Kadosh Baruch is telling him the truth. How do I know you're going to keep your promise? So one Medrash says he was punished. Yodoya teida kiger yezaracha, because he said "Bamaida," he had no right to say. But how do I know you're going to keep your promise? So he was punished. Yodoya teida kiger yezaracha be'eretz Halachem. All Golus Mitzrayim was a punishment for Avraham Avinu speaking like that. But the Gemara does not understand like that. The Gemara in the end of Megillah understands Bamaida be'ezus chus. What mitzvah do my descendants have to be careful about that we should have the right to take over Eretz Yisrael? So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Kol Yegle Mishulash is Vayan Mishulash B'Sar B'Goyzol, means B'Schus HaKorbas HaKorbonis. Yegle Mishulash is, and so on, refers to B'Schus HaKorbas HaKorbonis. So then the Gemara finishes the rest of the story that has no psukim already in Chumash. So Avraham Avinu asked the Rebbeinu Shlom, this is good B'Zman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim. What about B'Zman Shemes HaMikdash Kam? In 1948, the Jewish people took over the government in Eretz, so there are no HaKrovos HaKorbonos at all. So what schus do we have, that what right do we have to hold on to Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers Avraham Avinu, we should recite the Psukim of the Korbonos, Amal Ani Aleim Kilu Hikrivam. If they'll talk about the Korbonos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if we brought them. As it says, HaNashal Mefarim Soseinu, we will pay the obligation to bring Parim Karbonas by Swasena, by talking about the Karbonas. Kolo Oisik b'parsha soilu kilo hikrovoilu, kolo Oisik b'parsha schatas kilo hikrovchatos. The Chavetz Chaim has a whole essay when he encourages everyone to learn Kodshim. So he says most of the Rishonim say that that's only with respect to Karbonas and Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's a guy's in Siberia and he doesn't have matzah. So would it make sense he should learn his matzah? Whoever can't fulfill a mitzvah, let him learn those halachas considered as if he did it. So that Mabit writes like that in the Kiryas Sefer. Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo. He was in the Bezin of Rabbi Yosef Karo. They had a lot of machloikas in it, about Shemitah, other things, they had different disagreements. So he has a Sefer on the Rambam, Kiryas Sefer, which is not at all as popular as the Kesem Mishnah. The Kesem Mishnah gives you all the Marmakimus for all the Rambams. This is a Mishnah, this is a Gemara, this is a Tosefta, this is a Yerushalmi, this is a Tshuvas HaGoyim. Because Mishnah gives you all the time. Kiryas Sefer always has funny things. Always has strange Bar Mekoymes, and he always comes up with some wild Chiddush. People who have to say a Chabura and a Kailal always look in a Kiryas Sefer. There's always going to be a Shver in Kiryas Sefer to say a Chabura. There's always something that you have to break your head to figure out what in the world, where in the world did he get this from outer space? So the Mabit. I already forgot what was I talking about.
Learning something key.
Oh, the Mabit writes in his Sefer. He has a Sefer on Hashkafa also, Beis Alekim. So in the Sefer, he has a Sefer on the Rambam, Kiryas Sefer, and his Beis Elikim. See, he writes in his Sefer, Beis Elikim and Hashkafe, they quote the Hashkafe Sefer much more than they quote the Kiryas Sefer. The Hashkafe is normal. His halacha is strange. So he thinks that this promise doesn't only apply to Gorma, it applies to any mitzvah. If a person is not well and he couldn't go to shul to daven Tefillah B'Tzibur, so let him learn Hilchas Tefillah B'Tzibur. If you miss Kriyas HaTor, let him learn Hilchas Kriyas HaTor. I remember Rav Zevin was an old man and he wasn't able to go to shul, so he used to, on Sheni V'Chamisha, he used to go to Hilchas Kriyas HaTor. Whatever mitzvah you're not able to fulfill, so you should go through the dinim, it'll be considered as if you did it. So the Chafetz Chaim has a whole little essay where he writes, all the Rishonim say not so. It's only by Karbonas, and they extend it to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. If you don't have the ability to build a Beis HaMikdash Bizman Hazeh, so then at least you should talk it, you should learn the halachas of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Karbanos and Beis HaMikdash, that's where you have this Haftocha that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Avraham Avinu. So that's what we assume, that that's a din deraisa, that you can duchen, it's a din deraisa. Because when we recite the Psuki HaKarbanos, and we ask HaKadosh, let's say Musaf, and then you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept it as if Sarav Alacha Sarasenika Olo Kekarban, it's considered Men HaTorah, as if we brought the Karbanos, because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam told Avraham Avinu. Yeah. In the middle of the Seder HaVoidah, Yom Kippur, so the old Nusach Svar used to be that you only have Hakana V'Hom, Hom De Mazara. No. You only have twice. You would have the Kacha Yamoina, the Kangoda would do his week, Achaz Lamaila V'Shev Alamata, and the Gemara says he would count separately. Achaz Lamaila, he would go like this. Sheva Lamati would go like that. He dips in Akol Azot Tefila, dips his finger in. He would go like that Lamato. So they didn't say he has to count them separately. Not supposed to count from 1 to 8. He has to count 1, then 1 to 7. So the old Nusach in the Machzorim had only twice. Kachem Mona Achas Achas VeAchas Achas Shlaim Achas VeSholosh, and then they say later in the Piyut, and he repeated the same thing in front of the Parochas. He would do Achas Lamala B'Sheva Lamata in front of the Orein in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. On the Baisheni, the Orein wasn't there, so in front of the Evan Shesiyah. And then he repeat the same thing in front of the Parochas in the Hechel. So the Beis Yisrael quotes from Nabu Drum, that's not right. You should say 4 times. Kach Eman, Achas, Achas, Ve'al. You have it 4 times. And Broyers, they have it 3 times. Either here nor there. Should either be twice and just say repeated the same thing, or you come how many times? Say right away, 3 times. It doesn't make sense. Should either be twice or should be 4 times. So that the Beis Yisrael quotes that way around. Should say 4 times. Then you have the Kohen Gadol said vidui 3 times. The first time he said aniu besi, he and his wife besi wish that the Kohen Gadol has to be married on Yom Kippur. And then the second time he would say vidui he b'ri Aaron, all the Kohanim vidui for all the Shevet Kohuna. And then the third time, the vidui was for on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. And each time he would say Shem Hashem, he would pronounce the Shem Hashem. And we say Hakohen Avam Hom the Masar Hakohen Meshtafam Amodim Enof Malpaneim and so on. So that's why we have 3 times in the Musaf and the Seder HaVoidah. You have 3 times Hakohen Avam, and the meaning is that everybody kneels on the floor Zecher LaMikdash. Rav Soloveitchik mentioned that when he lived in Eastern Europe before he went to the university in Germany, he said the minig was that the women never kneeled on Yom Kippur. The first time he saw it was in Germany. He started to think, how come in Eastern Europe they didn't do it? So then he realized that the different parts of the shul in Halacha are assumed to be mechuvin kenegad, the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. So the women in Beis HaMikdash were never in the Azor. They went there as Rosnoshim. And in order that the women shouldn't have to stand, so the Gemara says they were never in the Kaddish as Rosnoshim, with Kedushas Azor, had Kedushas Harabayis. If it would have had Kedusha Azor, the women wouldn't have been allowed to sit. Because the din is Enshim B'Azor, El on the Malchay Beis David B'Lvad. No one was allowed to sit in the Azor. Even the Kohen Gadol was not allowed to sit in the Azor. Only the kings from the Malchay Beis David. So the women were never in the Azor. Isha B'Azor Menai in the Gemara has a Lashon and Kedusha. The women were never in the Azor. Really, really in the Azor. So the women were in the Azor Snoshim. So this Kiyam HaVishtachvo was only Hakohen Avam Hom de Mazara. The women were never in the Azor. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that was the reason why the minig was in Eastern Europe, where he came from, that the women never bowed down on Yom Kippur, because Zecher LaMikdash, they never had this in the Beis HaMikdash. The women never bowed down in Beis HaMikdash. Rechoykim, it says in the Yerushalmi, the Rechoykim would only say Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus L'Avod, and the Kerovim would be Mishtachva and say one day when they say the Mishtachva Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus L'Avod. The Rashash writes on that Gemara in Yuma that everybody would kneel. The Mishnah has Hakoyim Mishtachim Od Menaf Lamnayim Yamer Baruch Shem Kvoid Mechus Al Yanuvah. So the Rashash writes, Rashash was the Rosh HaKohol. He was a wealthy, successful businessman, but he knew how to learn very well. So he writes that the meaning of Vilna was that everybody would kneel on the floor, then they would stand up, then after they stood up, they would scream out Baruch Shem Kvoid Mechus Al Yanuvah. So he says he thinks that that's not correct. He's supposed to, when you're in a kneeling position on the floor, then you scream out Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus Al Yanuvah. That's a simple reading in the Mishnah. Anyway, but in all the Machzorim, they only have 3 times. Hakohen Avam Hom the Mazar, because the Kohen Gadol said the Shem Hashem, Shem Amforash, in each one of the Viduyim. The thing is that the Mishnah says when he said Lashem Chatos, when he had a Hagrola, and one with the Sor Lashem and the Sor Lazoso, and when he declared the Sor Lashem, Lashem Chatos, he also pronounced Shem Amforish, and the Mishnah says everybody kneeled on the floor. So the Baal HaTanya added on a fourth time in the Siddur of the Baal HaTanya. He added on that Yisakana Bamham the Mazar a fourth time, but they had the meaning that you only bow three times. The meaning is that everybody kneels only the three times of the Vidui, and the fourth time when he said Lashem Chatos, they just say a Karnavam, but they don't kneel. So Rav Soloveitchik and his minion introduced the meaning that not only the Chazan says the fourth time by Lashem Chatos, but also everybody should kneel as well. They have some Hasidic reason why the Baal HaTanya didn't introduce kneeling the fourth time. So Rav Soloveitchik wasn't that kind of a chassan, a different kind of a chassan, not that kind of a chassan. In the bracha in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, they're really supposed to be 10 brachas. The Gimel Shanis Gimel Aynis and the Gimel Amtsoyos, Malchus Achanah Shofers. Then it's supposed to be like any Shabbos and Yontif, like Shachris and Mincha and Rosh Hashanah. Say the Brach Emtzoy, says the Kedusha Sayyim. So that's why on Shabbos and Yontif there are 7 brachas. The Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achronis, and the Brach Emtzoy is Kedusha Sayyim. So by Musav, you really should have had 10 brachas. Should have had those 7 plus Malchus, Achronis, and Shofers. So why do we have only 9? So the Rav Soloveitchik explained, because there's a Gemara in Brachas. Gemara Megillah has a statement that the Nusach HaTvila was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. That was a body consisting of 120 Chachamim. That's why the Knesset has 120 members. Zechet to the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Yeah, there were 120 members in the Israeli Knesset. Not exactly. Some of them are Arabs. Some of the anti-Semites. So that's Zechet to the Knesset, Anshei Knesset HaGdola. So the Gemara has a losh in the 120 Chachamim, Ubehem Kamenevim, and amongst them were several Nevim, and they were the ones who composed the Nusach HaTfilah. So Rav Chaim Volozhin, it picks up on that in Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. Why did the Gemara mention the Behem Kama Nevim? So apparently you have to have a Karech HaNevuah to compose Tfilas. You have to know what's proper to say, what's not proper to say. And they composed Tfilas that we're still saying over 2,000 years later. These Tfilas were composed many, many years ago. So the Gemara in Brachas says that you have to have a source of Tanakh, that you have a right to compose a tefillah that has 18 units, Shmoneh Esrei. Then when they added the 19th, so they found a source that you have a right to compose a tefillah with 19 units. Then on a Tainis Tzibur, the Chazan would repeat the Shmoneh Esrei, add on 6 additional Brachas, it would be 24 Brachas, 18 and 6 are 24. So the Gemara quotes a source of Tanakh for a tefillah that has 24 units. Then the Gemara says there's a source for tefillah with 7 units. That's what we daven on Shabbos and Yontif. Then there's a source, tefillah schana, Hashem mentioned 9 times, a source for a tefillah with 9 units. There is no source for a tefillah with 10 units. So that's why all the Tanaim are working with the premise that the Musaf and Rosh Hashanah can only have 9 brachas, because there's no source in Tanakh. You have to have a mocker in Nevuah that you have a right to compose such a tefillah with 9 units. So for 9 they had a source, for 10 there's no source. We mentioned this in the Piyutim on Rosh Hashanah, and that's the Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah is Tfilas Chana, that has the 9 times mentioned Shem Hashem. So all the Tanaim are working on the premise you have to take the 10 brachas and combine them into 9. So you have to combine 2 brachas together, so you'll only have 9 brachas. So there was a 3-way machlekes HaTanaim in the Mishnah, in the Braisa and Masech Rosh Hashanah. Which 2 brachas do you combine together? So Bechem and Nuri was of the opinion that you combine together Malchias with Kedushas Hashem. After Kodesh Hashem Chokodesh, you insert Malchias over there. Rebbe Kiva disagreed with him, and the Yerushalmi says in the Galil, the practice was like Rebbe Bechem and Nuri. They would recite Malchias in the middle of the Kodesh before Hamelech HaKodesh, and then the fourth bracha would be just plain Kedushas Hayyim, like Shabbos and Yantav, but without Malchias, just plain Kedushas Hayyim. Rabbi Kiva disagrees, says no, the first 3 brachas stay the same, Melech HaKodesh, Tereva Kel HaKodesh, and then the middle 3 brachas should be Malchus and Shofers, and Malchus should be combined with the Kedusha Sayyim, that the theme of the day is Malchus. And then the Gemara quotes a third Tana, Reb Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that Mamat Zina B'chol Mokim Baruch Ha'im Tzois on Shabbos and Yom Tov Yisei Shmona Esrei with seven brachas, and Amusaf HaRosh Chodesh Shmona Esrei has seven brachas. So the middle bracha is the bracha of Kedushas HaYoyim. So the same thing on Rosh Hashanah, you have the Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achronis, and the three middle brachas are Malchus Reinus Shofris, and the bracha Em Tzois is Zechronis, that should have the Kedushas HaYoyim. You should combine Kedushas HaYoyim with the Zechronis. So that opinion was never followed. But the first two, Rebbe Chmanuri and Rebbe Akiva, so the Mishalmi says that in Galil the practice was like Rebbe Chmanuri, and the rest of Eretz Yisrael the practice was like Rebbe Akiva. So they said over from Rav Chaim Chiddush that if you would daven like Rabbi Chmanuri, you would be yotze b'dieved. The Rambam only has it in the Nusach HaTfilo. He doesn't write it in the Halacha. So he said the Rambam understood that it's just a question of Nusach. Any one of the three shitas you would do would be good b'dieved. It's just a question, what's the more correct Nusach HaTfilo? That's a Chiddush. Anyway, so on Rosh Hashanah, that our practice is that we combine Malchus with the Kedushas HaYoyim. So the Chasimus HaBracha is going to be Melech. What's the Nusach HaBracha? Let's see. The Nusach HaBracha is Melech al kol ha'aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom ha'zikaron. Why do you say Melech al kol ha'aretz? That's for the theme of Malchus. Then Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom ha'zikaron. That's for the theme of Kedushas HaYoyim. Our practice is that we say that Nusach not only to Musaf when we're combining the two different brachas into one, after take 10 and fetch them into 9. So we follow Rabbi Akiva that we combine the two together, Malchus with Kedushas HaYoyim. We have this Nusach by Ma'ariv and by Shachris and by Minch and by Kiddush also. Why are we combining over there? So there the Poskim say the Ferish. Let's say a person says Kiddush Ayidavin Shachris, or Ma'ariv, or Mincha, or Rosh Hashanah. And he forgot to say Melech al Kol Ha'aretz. He just said Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron. So B'dieved is Yotzei. The only time you really, the Matei Ephraim has like that, the only time you're really insistent that you have to say Melech al Kol Ha'aretz V'yom HaZikaron is when you have the both themes in the bracha on Musaf, on Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Kiva says the correct practice should be to combine Malchus with Kedushas HaYoyim. So you have to have both in the Chasima. The Chayodim is Mesupik. What if in Musaf you left that Melech al Kol Ha'aretz, just said Mekadesh Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron? Maybe it would be good there also. That's a questionable suffix. Huh?
Why he didn't say it? It wasn't
close enough. Yeah. So he has the Chayodim has such a Chiddush regarding Yontem Shecholiyas B'Shabbos also. If he did, he's supposed to say Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim. What if you only said one, you didn't say both? Whenever you have a double chasima, so the Chayodim has a Chiddush based on a Gemara in the Beitza, that maybe if he said only one in the chasima, even though the theme of the bracha is double, you have two themes in the bracha, and the chasima is supposed to have both, but if you chasim in one of the two, is also good b'dieved. So he's mesupik, maybe on Rosh Hashanah by Musa also, but by Kiddush, for sure it's good b'dieved. It's a question, even why do you do it l'chatchila? So our practice is that on Yom Kippur also, when we say we don't say Kiddush on Yom Kippur, but by Ma'ariv and Shachas and Musaf and Mincha and Nila, the middle bracha of on Yom Kippur, you don't say nine brachas, you just say seven brachas like Shabbos and Yom Tov. So when you say the middle bracha, you say Melech al Kol Ha'aretz, the Kaddish Yisrael v'Yom HaKippurim. We mentioned Malchus, even though Malchus is the theme of Rosh Hashanah, but a Melech al Kodesh is the theme of all of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So that's so our practice is that we do mention Malchus in the Chasimus Abraham, Melech al Kol Ha'aretz. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that you should really add on before the end of the bracha in the Shmona Esrei of Ma'ariv and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha and Nila and Yom Kippur, the Chasimus Abraham is going to speak about Melech al Kol Ha'aretz Malchus. So you should add Alakeinu Kenesenu. You should add that on before you say Kadshen and Mitzvah Sechah. Most of the Nusach Ashkenaz Sidurim it's missing. There were other Sidurim, but they do have. But the Nusach Ashkenaz is missing. So he said, more correct is that you should add that on. Because we are saying in the Chasimus HaBrach, we're mentioning Malchus. The Gemara has a whole sugya in Rosh Hashanah, the Abtesim, and Allah about Masifim Echol Al HaKodesh. So the Rambam paskins that the mocker for Tosefes Masifim Echol Al HaKodesh is the pasuk by Yom Kippur. V'nisim Esnaf Shasech Metush Al HaKodesh Ba'erev. So the pasuk pshat is that on the 9th of Tishrei at night, the night after the 9th of Tishrei is the 10th of Tishrei, so then you have to fast. Leil Yom Kippur, you have to fast. So Gemara gives an additional level of interpretation that what it means is the Tisha L'Chodesh Ba'erev, late in the afternoon, on Erev Yom Kippur, you have to start fasting. And this is the Mokka from Masifim Echol Al HaKodesh. So the Gemara says that from Yom Kippurim we derive that every Shabbos and every Yontif, that you always have to have Tosefes, Masifim Echol Al HaKodesh. The Rambam Epis doesn't paskin like that, Sugya. The Rambam paskin is he only quotes the din of Masifim Echol Al HaKodesh by Yom Kippur. Both Lefonov and Leachrov. You have to have Tosefes Yom Kippur, Lefonov and Leachrov. So that's a question of how much Tosefes do you need? So the Mechaber writes in Hilchos Yom Kippur that you need to have to be Masifim Echol Al HaKodesh. So he writes, Kol Shehu, a small amount of time. A small amount of time has to be before Bein Hashmashas. If Bein Hashmashas is Sof Yom Sof Eglav, that's not Tosefes. So that's what the Mechaber writes, based on some Rishon, but the Tosefes on the Daf, and Beitz of Daf, Lam, and Amar Aleph, Tosefes shows from the Gemara that it's not the Kol Shehu. It would appear, Tosefes says, it would appear from the Gemara Beferish, and Beitz of Daf, Lam, and Amar Aleph, that there's some minimum amount of time that you have to add on the Torah's Tosefes Yom Kippur. How much is it? The Tosefes says they don't know. But from the Gemara, it would appear that it's a specific amount of time. So on that daf, in Beitza, daf, Lanam, and Aleph, there's a Tosefes Rabbeinu Peretz who writes that he thinks that it's 30 minutes, half an hour, samach, whenever there's a din of samach. Often when there's a din of samach, samach means a half an hour before. So Rav Soloveitchik said where he came from, that was the practice, that every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontov, the women would bench licht by 30 minutes before sunset, to be Mosim Echol Al HaKodesh, a half an hour. And in Erev Yom Kippur, they would bench licht an hour before. They would accept Tosefes Yom Kippur an hour before. He said he remembers as a child, he asked, Manishtana, why is it 60 minutes? Why isn't it just 30 minutes? So they used to say, the official explanation was, 30 minutes for Tosefes Malochan, 30 minutes for Tosefes for Inuyim. And he says he didn't understand what that means. He didn't think that it made any sense. It's the same Kedushas HaYoyim that Asas B'Malocha, and that's Machai B'Neinuim. So what do you need? What do you mean 30 minutes for this and 30 minutes for that? The same 30 minutes should be Oila for everything. But he says that was the Minik, that they would be Moshe Mechol Al HaKodesh an hour on Erev Yom Kippur. Most people don't do that. Most people run in the last second. They run in Erev Yom Kippur. Every Shabbos, Erev Yontif, people come in the last minute. Yedavim Mincha before the Shkia. And a lot of times the Chazan doesn't even finish the Chazaras HaShatz before the Shkia. We assume that the Bein HaShmashas begins right after the Shkia, like the Baal HaTanya and the Vilna Gaon, so that the Tosefes has to be before Bein HaShmashas. So you don't have a Tosefes a half an hour. So that's why this is Sefer Maimar Mordechai on Or HaChaim, several volumes. It's written by a Sfardish a French rabbi in the 1800s, middle 1800s. Fantastic sefer. Mishneh Berurah quotes Mary Alipay. I don't know how the Mishneh Berurah got it. A French sefer, just written a few years before. I don't know how he got a copy of it, but he quotes it all the time. It's a knockout sefer, Gevaldik. Every topic that's discussed by the Mogen Avraham in the Taz, he discusses it thoroughly. Every topic, and he gives you the best maskana. He always comes to the best maskana. So he quotes this Rabbeinu Peretz when it was still a manuscript. Now we have it printed, Rabbeinu Peretz on Beitz, Daf Lama and Manal, where he says the Sefer should really be 30 minutes before. I don't know. It's half an hour is before Samuch. Samuch is always a half an hour. So Samuch Liyantov, Samuch L'Shabbos, after Yom Kippur. So it says on Matzoi Shabbos, you should be Moshim Mechol Al HaKodesh. You should wait till you see Gimel Kochavim Tanim. Tzeisel Chacham is Gimel Kochavim Beinanim. So if you can see Gimel Kochavim Tanim, that's enough Tosefes. So if you see Gimel Kochavim Beinanim, Smuchim Zelazet, near each other. So that's enough Tosefes. So that's probably less than a half an hour. Less than a half an hour. The half an hour, that makes more sense on Erev, Shabbos Erev, Yom Tov, Samach. Samach before. Anyway, the Rambam's opinion is that Tosef is only on Yom Kippur. So for sure, Yom Kippur, you should be try to be Moisef before and after. Tosef and Brochus raises the issue. It says in the Pasuk, Kosavachas ben Yisrael, Omar Lahem, in Parshas Nasa, the Kohanim Shaduchan, Kosavachas ben Yisrael, Omar Lahem. They should say the following text, Yerech Hashem Yishmarech. That's the Pshutu Shal Mikra. Omar Lahem, the Kohanim should tell it, Tziba, Yerech Hashem Yishmarech. So the Targum over there introduces the Drosha of the Torah Shabbat Peh on that Pasuk, Kosavachas ben Yisrael, Omar Lahem, when the Yisraelim request the Brocha from the Kohanim, Lahem is to the Kohanim. When Israel requests of the Kohanim a bracha, then Kosev Bracha, they should say this. So you have to call out Kohanim. When the Chazan screams out Kohanim, that's the tzivui. We're requesting of the Kohanim they should give the Nesias Kapan. So Rabbi Natam is quoted by Tesis as saying, who's going to say this scream out Kohanim? The Chazan's going to say Kohanim. It's a hepsik in the middle of the Chazaris Hashatz. Why is he saying Kohanim? So you should say the Chazan HaKnesses, the Shamas, the Gabbai in the Shul, someone else. That's the practice in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of shuls, that someone else screams out Kohanim. Our practice is that the Ramah writes, the Chazan says Kohanim, because he says the whole paragraph, L'ken Kohanim. V'chein b'abracha m'shalesh es b'teres. He says the whole paragraph, so part of the paragraph is Kohanim. He says that all together. So the Ramah writes that the minig is that the Chazan says everything softly, kol nomuch, until he gets to the word Kohanim, then he screams that out loud. So the Rechik thought that more correct would be that the Chazan should say the whole Elokeinu Kevaseinu, but Kol Rom, whatever the Chazan says softly doesn't count. Chazan is offering Tefillas HaTzibur. So if the Tzibur doesn't, if you don't have 10 people listening, so there's no, doesn't count. That's why the Magen Avraham quotes from the Arizal that the Chazan should say Hashem Svas HaTiftach softly. So the others write that there is no such Arizal. They looked in the Kisvei Ari, it doesn't say that. In the Minhag and the Beis HaKnesses Ari, and many Sfaradi Shekilas, but they followed the Arizal. They always said, Hashem so said Tiftach Atlan. Because whatever, so that was the argument. Whatever the Chazan said softly doesn't count. It's not part of the Shmoneh Esrei. And then also, at the end of the Shmoneh Esrei, there's a machloikas, whether the Chazan should say Yil Ratzon Im Refi or not. So the Vilna Gaon thinks that more correct is that he should say. So that's a Rav Soloveitchik that also. Whatever he says, you should say b'kol rab. He should say it loud enough. Everybody should hear. Whatever he whispers doesn't count. So that's Rav Soloveitchik thought he should really say, okay, okay, we're saying it, but chayne b'abroch, you say everything out loud. And kol nidre, there was a big machlekes harishainim in Maseches Nedarim. What is kol nidre all about? So the Tosfos on Nedarim, the tiny letters of the Tosfos on the bottom of the page in Nedarim, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who said that Kol Nidre is based on the Gemara Nedarim, we're declaring in advance, it's a Mesiris Meidua, and then a Nedarim that we will take in the course of the coming Yom, Yom Kippurim Zeh, Ad Yom Kippurim Harbo Aleinu L'Toyfa. And this was Rabbeinu Tam with his father, Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbeinu Meir was the son-in-law of Rashi. So they came to this conclusion, you have to change the text. The old text of Kol Nidre used to be that it's a Hataras Nedarim for the Nedarim that were taken in the course of the past year, the Yom Kippurim Shavah and Yom Kippurim Hazeh. The two different versions of what Kol Nidre is all about. Is it a Hataras Nedarim, the Shavah and the Nedarim taken in the course of the past year, or is it a Mesiris Meidah in advance of the Nedarim to be taken in the future year? So the Chayodam was used like the Bible in Lithuania. They follow the Chayodim like the Bible. So the Chayodim recommends you say both Nuschos. It's Zem Yom Kippur Hashava, Yom Kippur Mazem, Yom Kippur Mazem, Yom Kippur Pahbalein Oletayva. So that is the minhag here in the Yeshiva that the Chazan says both. The Chayodim himself says you should say the whole Nuschach. Dinadarno, Dinishtabano, that's on the past tense. Then when you're going to say Dinadar Udinishtaba, Udiniknos, you should. So that they don't do in the yeshiva. They just say the verbs once. They say Yom Kippurim Shavah, Yom Kippurim Hazeh, Yom Kippurim Zeh, Yom Kippur Abavol, and other types. So it serves a double role. It's a Taras and Dorim L'Sha'ovar. That's why you have two people standing next to the Chazan. So you have a bezna of three, a matar rolled in a dorm. And that's why you say the for the Mesiris Meidor for the future. So we include the both nuschos. Then the Gemara says, we say Shachyanu. The Gemara has a shada. They say Shachyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not. So the Gemara says it should be Loi Gora from Rapi Chodosh. If you see a new fruit, you see a new fruit, so you realize that you've survived till to the new watermelon season, till potato season, whatever. Some people think you only say Shachyanu on fruits. That's not true. So Shachyanu you say on vegetables also. I don't know, people are more excited about fruits and vegetables. It doesn't matter. It's not excitement about it. Even if you're allergic to this fruit, you're not allowed to eat it. It's bad. You'll get a heart attack, whatever. You say Shachyanu because when you see the new fresh fruits, you realize that you have survived another year till a new season. It's a Shachyanu and a Hagos Hazman. So the Gemara says, if Yom Kippur comes, Rosh Hashanah comes, why shouldn't you say Shachyanu and Hagos Hazman? You're not excited. You come, I survived another year. The Gemara says, yeah. Shachyanu on a Pri Chadosh, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Everybody remembers that last year they said Shachyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So what is the Gemara asking? The Gemara says, no. Shachyanu has a Rishus Maskin. Because Shachyanu on a Pri Chadosh is only a Rishus. You're not Mechayiv to. But the Shadu of Shachyanu, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos is a Chiyuv. You're Mechayiv to say Shachyanu because of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. So the Shaila in the Gemara was, that's how Rabbi Yonason writes on that Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem on the base. Is there a chayva to say Shachyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The Gemara comes to the conclusion that yes, you do say Shachyanu. So then the Gemara says on the same daf, strictly speaking, you say Shachyanu even when you're walking in the street. Shachyanu on Rafila Bashuk, Shachyanu on Yontif. But we save up the Shachyanu until the end of the Kiddush, that we enhance the Chashivas of the Bracha by reciting it ala kos. So what do you do on Leil Yom Kippur? Leil Yom Kippur, you're not going to have a kos. So the Gemara says, maybe we should say Shachyanu while a kos and give it to a child to drink. The child is not fasting anyway on Yom Kippur. Gemara said, that's not a smart idea because the kid is going to remember that the rabbi gave me the wine to drink on Leil Yom Kippur. So he's going to think even after he's bar mitzvah, he's going to remember that Rabbi Rapp tells a story. Rabbi Danny Rapp was functioning as the rabbi in some shul in Denver, I think, for a while. So he says, last year on Yom Kippur. It was Yom Kippur, Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, I think. So the Chazan was going to say Kiddush over a cup of wine. He thought, Yom Kippur, you don't say Kiddush, that's if it's B'chol. But Yom Kippur, Shechol Yis B'Shabbos. Of course you say Kiddush. So Rabbi Rapp thought he was kidding, thought it was a jokester like him. Then he was ready to fill up the cup of wine. He realized that he meant it. So he stopped him. You don't make it. You don't drink wine on Yom Kippur, Shechol Yis B'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, it's not a smart thing to say Shachyanu over a cup of wine and give it to a child, because the kid is going to remember after his bar mitzvah, the rabbi gave me the wine to drink, and he won't realize he was a chatan then, now he's a god. So the Gemara says, we don't do it. Then the Gemara says, so say Shachyanu and don't be mekabel Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, no, you can't do that. Shachyanu can only be recited on Yom Kippur. You can't recite Shachyanu on Erev Yom Kippur. So that's why a lot of women have the practice of reciting Shachyanu when they ben shlicht on the Erev Yontif. So the Rabbi Yankov Emden writes in his Sefer Morik Tzi on the Torah Rechaim, he writes that that's not really proper, because the men can also say Shachyanu in shul, like on Leil Yom Kippur, everybody says Shachyanu together in shul. So every Yontif, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, you can say Shachyanu in shul. The Gemara says, I'm Rafila Bashuk. And we don't do that, because when you say the Shachyanu over the cup of wine, you enhance the Chashivas of the Bracha. So we save Shachyanu for the end of the Kiddush. So by the women also, why should they say Shachyanu when they bench licht? Let them wait till the husband says Kiddush. Husband says Shachyanu then. So a lot of the women, you can't talk to the women. They tell them not to say Shachyanu. This is what their mother did. This is what their mother's mother did like that. You can't argue with the women. But those who are prepared to listen, Rabbi Kivega quotes this from Rabbi Yankov Emden. It's more correct is that they should not say Shachyanu. Mishas hadlokas on theirs, but they don't listen. Okay, but on Erev Yom Kippur, the men are not going to say Shachyanu over wine anyway. So what's the difference? So the women already can say when they bench licht. Yeah, that's fine. But a lot of the women bench licht, and then they have in mind they're going to drive to shul. So lechatchila, that's not proper. Lechatchila, we are choshish for the opinion of the halachas gedolus. The halachas gedolus understood pshat in the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem on the base. When you do hadlokas on theirs, an Erev Shabbos, an Erev Yontif, that's an automatic bolus to Sefer Shabbos Bal Korcho Shalom. His opinion is, Halachas Gedolus of the opinion, Bahag, is of the opinion when a woman benches licht, it's Chal to Sefer Shabbos for all the members of the family who are relying on her Hadlokas Aneris. So no one's allowed to do any Malocha afterwards, and the men can't daven Mincha. Now, Soloveitchik said when he first got married, he was Choshish for that opinion. The Bali Atesis used to be Choshish for that. So they used to, after the woman benches licht, it was considered a Kabbalah to Sefer Shabbos for the Bnei Abayis, so they couldn't daven mincha, because you're not allowed to daven mincha, shalchol, filo shalchol, after you makabal Shabbos. So the Bali Atesis used to have a practice, the Mogan Avraham quotes, Bali Atesis had a practice, when they finished mincha in shul, they would send the son home to tell the mother to bench licht. Because if the mother would bench licht before, the husband and the children wouldn't be allowed to daven tefillas chol. So Rav Soloveitchik said when he first got married, he was machmer for that opinion, that he would always daven mincha before his wife would bench licht. When she would bench licht, he would follow the halachas gedolos, and it's kabbalas tasef v'shaz bal korchai for all the members of the household. But in Shulchan Aruch, they're not choshish for that bahag. They're only choshish for the woman herself. That the woman who lit candles, that she should be mekabel Shabbos by the Adlokha Saneris. You haven't the right to say the bracha l'habeg nesh al Shabbos unless you mekabel Shabbos right away. So that's where choshish for that bahag, only for the woman, not for the rest of the members of the family. And if it's a big shas ha'takdam ha'mekel, let's say the woman has to drive somewhere afterwards, so she's going to do another malacha. She didn't finish all the malachas. So more correct is she should wait with hatlokas aneris till she finishes all the malachas. Let's say she can't. She has to drive to the mikveh or something. So she could be madlik neris and say the bracha earlier, and then have in mind that she's going to do a malacha later on. But if it's Erev Yantif, Erev Yom Kippur, and she's going to say Shechyanu, Shechyanu, you can't make a tenai that you're not mekabel Yantif. So the Shechyanu is a bracha levator. So if the women want to say Shechyanu, we should try to convince them not to. The rest of the year, Yom Kippur, the men also not going to say Shechyanu over a cup of wine. But all year long, an Erev Yantav, more correct is to save the Shechyanu till you say the Kiddush, to enhance the Chashivas of the Bracha, should be a Bracha ala kos. But if they insist they're going to, okay, but they shouldn't make a Tanai. They shouldn't, that they can't do. You can't make a, you can't have a mind after saying Shechyanu that you're not Mekabal Tasef as Yantav. That's a Befevish Gemara. You can only recite Shechyanu if you're any Mekabal Kedusha Sayyim of Yantav or of Shabbos. Okay. So they got to figure out what they're going to do. Yeah. The Gemara says that the Nisis Kapayim is Kash to Avodas HaKarbonis L'Shorso L'Var Pishmoy. The Kohanim were chosen L'Shorso L'Var Pishmoy. So many Rishayim assume that just like Sheirus Avodas HaKarbonis only by Yom, that's based on the Pasuk Parshas Tzav B'Yom Tzavoso L'Hakrib is Karbonayim in Parshas Tzav. So too, duchening has to be bayom. So that's the issue. Do you duchen at the conclusion of Ne'ilah? Because most places, there's machlekes in the Gemara, when do you recite Ne'ilah? So one opinion, you can start Ne'ilah balayla. You can start Ne'ilah amatzoh yom kippur. We don't follow that opinion. So we hold that Ne'ilah has to be recited on the ton. So that's a further machlekes. The Rosh quotes Yerushalmi there, the end of Yuma, do you have to finish the whole Shemana Esrei of Ne'ilah with the Chazara Sashatz, everything before the sun goes down. Then you have to wait a long pause till you daven Ma'ariv. Or no, as long as you began Ne'ilah by Yom, you can finish into the Laila. So that's the common practice. Everybody knows at the end of Ne'ilah they're going to blow Shayf and everybody's going to go run to eat food. Everybody already does Malachas. So the common practice most places is that you finish Ne'ilah when it's already Tzeisa Kachavim. So that's in Shailusha, is it right to duchen? So most places the practice is, Beis quotes, most places the practice is you don't duchen by Ne'ilah, because duchening is hukash to Akrobus HaKarbonis, and Akrobus HaKarbonis has to be by Yom. And the Maharil lived in Germany, so the Maharil writes, and in Frankfurt on the Main, there were two Frankfurts. So the Frankfurt on the Main, the minig was that they were duchen to Ne'ilah as well. So the Maharil defends the Minik, he explains, and the Shagasari has a sefer on Tainus that's called Gvuris Ari. So this is the last paragraph in the sefer. The manuscript conks out in the middle of this paragraph. But obviously he's saying the same thing as the Maharil, that duchening is compared to Hakrovas HaKarbonis, which Avoida? The Dalar Avoida Saddam, Shchita Kabbalah Halacha Zrika, have to be Bayom. But there are other avodas that can be done by Laila. Nisach Hayayin can be done by Laila. There are avodas that can, Haktoris Emurin can be done by Laila. There are real avodas that can be done by Laila. Only the Dalar avodas Adam can only be done by Yom. And a mincha there, a dalar avodas that are parallel to the dalar avodas adam. So the four dalar avodas of a mincha have to be done by yom. But other avodas can be done by lila. So that's the justification for the minig Frankfurt. But in other yeshivas, in Eretz Yisrael, they have a lot of places, and other yeshivas, they'll finish ne'ila before the shkia, and the duchen before the shkia, and then someone will give a drasha, give a long drasha. When I was a rabbi, I was a rabbi in a shul that was a branch of Broyas. So they used to duchen balayla, okay? They were all from Broyas. And then a yekke moved into the neighborhood who was not from Broyas. And his meaning was he never duchened to Nila, but the other people duchened to Nila. So we made a compromise. So we're going to duchen to Nila, and they finished the whole Chazaras HaShatz before Shkia. Then I held a drasha for 45 minutes. So then I had to discuss everything with Rabbi Schwab to make sure that it corresponded to the Menhagim HaBroyas. He said that's what Rabbi Hirsch did. Rabbi Esenser and Rabbi Hirsch did that. They would finish duchening before the shkia, finished the ila before the shkia, and he held a long drasha till they say Avinu Malkeinu line by line. So that takes a long time. It takes 15 minutes, and then Rabbi Hirsch held a long drasha, and he told me that the last drasha that he delivered, I think he died on December 31st. They used to pay him a monthly salary, so he left instructions if he dies in the middle of the month, his children should reimburse the kehillah the money. So he died on December 31st, so they didn't have to reimburse anything. So the last drasha that he gave, Amatzoy Yom Kippur, he's a famous drasha, and he told me that someone wrote a whole German poem about the last drasha. There were two families that didn't get along together, and he insisted they have to make peace. That when you say, when the chazan says, Eishu Shalom Aram, V'yashu Shalom Aleinu, and everybody says, Amen. Amen means that we're maskim, to make peace. So he forced the two families to shake hands in shul and to make peace with each other. So this was the last drasha that he said, Amatzo Yom Kippur. He had a long time to give a drasha. The different minhagim where the Ramo quotes, the chazan, when he says, Chazor Sasha, is supposed to be in a standing position. Not supposed to be leaning on the floor, not supposed to be kneeling on the floor, like in the Beis HaMikdash. You can only do the Avodah in a standing position. You can't kneel on the floor and do the Avodah. So that's the question. Is it proper that the Chazan kneels in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei by Aleinu? The Mazora. So more correct is you should never kneel. You have a minig that Tzibur should kneel, not the Chazan. But the minig is, people don't listen to the din, so the minig is that the Chazan does kneel. So Aruch HaShulchan writes, a chazan should kneel by Aleinu, though. He should only on Rosh Hashanah, only by Aleinu. He should kneel on Yom Kippur. He should only kneel by the Seder Avodah. That's Zecha LeMikdash. Most of the shuls, they don't follow that. I think in Broyas they follow that meaning. That the chazan does not kneel by Aleinu, he just kneels on Yom Kippur by a kind of a Om. Rav Soloveitchik had that meaning. Probably picked it up from Germany, where they had such a practice. Amatzoy Yom Kippur. At the end of Nila, so we say Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, we say Hashem Hu Elokim seven times. So when we say Shema Yisrael, it's already Higia Zman Kriya Shema Shel Arvus. So you're not supposed to say Shema Yisrael before you say the Birchas Kriya Shema. So everyone should have in mind Kavanah Shelo Lotzeis. People usually are not thinking that. Should really have in mind Kavanah Shelo Lotzeis, because more correct is when you say Shema Yisrael Balayla. You should say it in the middle of all of the Birchas Kriya Shema. One of the piyutim that's included in the slichas is always omitted here in the yeshiva, Machnisei Harachmim, that you ask the angels to bring our prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not supposed to ask the angels anything. And the Gemara says that when a yochid davens, the angels have to present the tefillahs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when the tzibah davens, the tefillahs go directly. You don't even need the angels, but even when the yochid davens, Rav Chaim Volozhin had an insistence from the Vilna Gaon, you don't ask anything of the angels. They're going to do their job, but you don't ask any tevis because you have a Mishnah in Megillah, Mishnah in Brochus, the same Mishnah repeated twice, which is unusual, same Mishnah repeated twice, that Ha'imi Baruch Hu Chatovim, Mishaskim Ozom. If you say Yivarchucha Toivim. That's a question what it means. So I think there are six different interpretations. The Meiri quotes all the six different interpretations. So one of the interpretations is, Haim Yivarchucha Toivim, if I say the good angel should give you a blessing, Meshaskeno, so that's not right. You're not supposed to ask anything of the angel. We pray directly to the Rabbanu Shalom, we don't ask anything of the angel. So that's why the Chasam Sefer writes in his tshuva also that they say so much by slichas, he always has to leave something out. He can't say so much by the slichas. He always happens to leave this out. Machnisa Harachman and those sections he always leaves out. He doesn't want to ask anything of the angels. So we have such a similar stanza in the slichas by Ne'ilah that you say, Midas Harachman, we beg of the Midas Harachman that the Midas Harachman should plead out the case by the Rabbanu Shalom on our behalf. We're not asking anything of the Midas Harachman. We directly ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't ask. We don't ask the others for anything. So that's many had the meaning. They do ask angels to help them out. Many Rishonim had that meaning. Those who composed these piyutim, Rashi has like that, I think Maran Sanhedrin. But Rav Chaim Volozhin had this tradition from the Vilna Gaon not to. Today's Tom Gedalia, Medina de Gemara, you only learn Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. You don't have Kriyas HaTorah by Shachar unless it's Monday and Thursday. Today is Wednesday. So the practice to have Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, that's a minik from the days of the Gaonim. That's how it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Medina de Gemara, you only have the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. Usually, when you finish Kriyas HaTorah, you say Chatzi Kaddish. Shabbos Yontav, we always do it like that. Sheni B'Hamisha, we always do it like that. When you have a Haftorah, so the meaning always was on the Taina Sibur that after Shlishi, the Chazan would say Chatzi Kaddish, and then the one who got Shlishi would say the Haftarah. So Rabbi Kivega writes that he did away with that meaning because of a Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham quotes Adin and the Gemara, this quote in Shulchan Aruch, Mafta Benovit Tzorach Shikra B'Torah Tchila. The one who gets Maftir has to have an Aliyah also. Because you're going to have people getting aliyahs, they're going to learn psukim from Chumash, and the Mafta is just going to learn psukim from the Navi. So people will think that Navi is just as important as the Chumash, which is not so. Chumash is more important than the Navi. If they cover the Torah, so Hamafta Benavi Tzorach Shikra B'Torah Tchila. So the Lashon HaGemara Tzorach Shikra B'Torah Tchila, Magen Avraham understands that it means immediately before. So you shouldn't be mapsik in between the Aliyah and the Haftarah. So the Magen Avraham is not talking about the Taanit Sibur. He's talking about Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos morning. Let's say they learned the whole Sedra, and then they gave Shvi, then they found a mistake in Shvi. But they already finished the whole Shvi, then they found a mistake. So normally when you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, you take out another Sefer Torah, put back the Pasula one. So what are you going to take out of Sefer Torah just to lean over again the Maftir and the Haftarah? To lane over the map that we already laned it from the first Sefer Torah. So the Magen Avraham says, I think the Mechaber says, if you found a mistake in Shvi, you finish the whole Kriya, the whole Sedra, so you don't give a maftir. Shvi gets maftir. Shvi, because the din is a maftir zayla lemin rakui. Mikra din, the maftir can be the last one of the seven aliyahs. So let's say on Yom Tov, there are five aliyahs, Yom Kippur, there are six aliyahs. So the last aliyah can be mafter. We want to satisfy, the Rabbeinu Tam says, we want to satisfy both opinions in the Gemara. Gemara has a machlek of samurai, whether the mafter should be in addition to the seven aliyahs, in addition to the five, six, seven aliyahs, on Yontif and Yom Kippur and Shabbos, or no, the last aliyah. So we really pask and mafter, the last aliyah should be mafter, but in order to satisfy the other aliyah, so we have seven aliyahs plus mafter. But Mikra Din is good the way it is. So that's what the Mechaber writes, that if you finished Shvi and you found a mistake on the last Aliyah, you don't take out another Sefer Torah. You just follow the Din, that the Maftar is other than me, and Akruim, and the one who got Shvi is going to say Maftar. So the Magen Avraham adds on in such a case. What's happened in the Yeshiva? Exactly that case. We used to daven in the basement of the morgue. We still have a minyan there. Basement in the morgue. Not on Shabbos. Uh-huh. So we used to daven on Shabbos. So once they found the mistake taka in Shvi, and then we applied that din, that the Shvi got, the Gabbai had already set up, someone else is going to get mafter, so everything was changed. So the one who got Shvi said mafter. Magen Avraham said in such a case, you shouldn't say the Chatzi Kaddish. Because you shouldn't say a Hapsaka, the Chatzi Kaddish, in between the Aliyah that the Mafta gets and the Kriyas Haftarah that he's going to have. Should be Tzoch Sheikabat Torah. Tchila means immediately before. So here it's not right. On a lot of shuls, they started a new thing that they say a Mishaberch for all the Cholim, or they say a Mishaberch for the Chayalei Tzahal, in between the Kriyas HaMaftir and the Kriyas HaHaftarah. That's the worst time. That's when you're not supposed to have any Hapsakas. It's supposed to be one right after the other. So that's not the right time. So Rabbi Kivega did away with that. The meaning always was that they said Chatzi Kaddish on a Tainasi, in between Shlishi and the Kriya of the Haftarah, so he did away with it. But the myth still is like that on Tisha B'Av by Mincha. Tisha B'Av to Mincha, we don't say Dirush HaShem B'Hi Matzo. You say a different Haftarah. So the meaning still is that you do say Chatzi Kaddish. So that's a Chida Stuma, that's a riddle. How come on a tiny sibul befala Rabbi Kivega that you don't say Chatzi Kaddish in between the Shlishi and the Haftarah? How come on Tisha B'Av we do say Chatzi Kaddish? I'm so late, she had answers for everything. He gave some explanation, I forgot already what. He was a genius. He showed him two sifim and Shulchan Aruch, they contradict each other. He'll always explain why it's not a contradiction. He wasn't always good at figuring out what's the maskana from the Gemara. See, sometimes when the Gemara have a whole sugya, what's the maskana? So you have to be calm. So sometimes he wouldn't get it straight. But in Shulchan Aruch, they tell you what the maskana saw. Here it says red, and here it says black. So he would explain why it's not a contradiction. He was an expert, yeah.
Didn't Translatric also say that the whole Kriya Sattara is only, the main thing is the Haftara Kriya on Tanitsi?
That was another thing, yeah.
So that alone shouldn't have a Chatzi Kaddish. You shouldn't have a Chatzi Kaddish all style.
Don't know. This I don't know. Really, Ne'ila, yeah.
I want to ask before you were talking about that Rav Chaim had a problem with saying certain parts of Slicha because it was doubling to the angels.
Rav Chaim Volozhin, yes.
Yeah, so he had, I want to ask how he, what do you say with the fact that the first Pesukim in Chumash that seemed to be doubling toward the angels? Amal
HaGol, I don't know. The Rishonim talk about it. They would leave out Bochini L'Sholem on Friday night.
Yeah, but then you
have to right. Don't know. The Rishonim talk about it. How do you explain those psukim? I don't remember what they say. Yeah, the Gemara says, the Mishnah is having Taina, Masechus Taina says, Ne'ila is not a din of Yom Kippur. Ne'ila is a din on every Taina Siba. You dav in Ne'ila. How come we don't say Ne'ila today? So the answer, the official answer the Gaonim gives, ain't Taina Siba B'Bavel. Chutz Mitisha B'Bavel Yom Kippur. There's no din of Taina Sibra and Bavel. And Eretz saw they had a Nasi, the Rosh HaSanhedrin, so he would be goes a Taina Sibra, there would be a Tziris Gishamim. So that would have the whole Tokiv, that would have the full din of a Taina Sibra. But we don't have any Taina Sibra and Bavel, so that's why we don't say Ne'ila. So if it's not a Taina Sibra, how come the Chazan says Aneinu is a Bracha Bifnei Atzma? How come we have Kriya Sator? You only have Kriya Sator, and the Chazan only says a separate Bracha Aneinu if it's a Taina Sibra. So if the Gaonim give some kind of an explanation. It's not a Taina Sibur with respect to Ne'ila, but you don't need the full din Taina Sibur nor have Kriya Sator and Anin. I don't know exactly what they explained, but somehow they explained something. They gave some kind of an explanation. Medina de Gemara, everybody says Aneinu, even by Ma'ariv last night, because the Tonis begins the night before. The whole day is the Yom HaTonis. And that's probably the reason why the Gemara says if a person went to sleep, Shinas Keva, and then he wakes up before Los Al Shach, he's not allowed to eat. But it's not yet the daytime, so you only fast by Yom. The answer is no. The Tanis really begins at night, but there's a Heta to eat at night. So the Heta is only up until you go to sleep. Unless you make it tonight, unless you stipulate it in advance that I plan to eat when I wake up before Los Al Shach. So then you're allowed to eat. I think Los Al Shach today was at 5. 10 to 5 or something like that. 5 to 5, 10 to 5, something like that. Some people set the clocks to wake up before Los HaShachar to eat. So the Vilna Gaon quotes from the Ramban in the Torah Sa'odom, where the Ramban says that when fasting, some Gedalia was really Dibri Kabbalah, when the Nevi'im instructed Bnei Yisrael they should fast. Originally, fasting Asara B'Teves, Sam Gedalia, Tisha B'Av, Shavuos, V'Tammuz was all a minhag that Bnei Yisrael developed on their own in the 70 years of Golus Bavel. Then, when they rebuilt the second Beis Hamikdash, then the Mishala was whether they should still continue to observe Tisha B'Av. So then the Novi said, you have to sometimes you have to fast the other Taneisim, sometimes not. So the Ramban writes, when the chiyuv to fast on some gedali was medivri kabbalah, then you had to fast leila kiyom, you had to fast 24 hours, you had to observe all the hamisha inuyim. But because bizman hazeh, it's only totally beratzu, ratzu misanim ratzu misanim, it's optional. Today it's no longer optional. The bal halachas gedolos writes kvar shayu alay chayva. But there was a period of time that it was Ratzim Masanim, Ratzim Masanim, it was optional. So at that time, when they established that the minig is that you do fast, so the minig only was, you only fast in the daytime and you don't observe all the Hamisha Inuim. But when it was Medibri Kabbalah, when you were Mukhiv to fast Medibri Hanavi, then it would have been Leila Kiyom of the Hamisha Inuim. So that's what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalom, that a Bal Nefesh Yachre Alatzmo, son. Asar B'Tavis and some Gedalian Shavuos B'Tammuz, you should really fast Laila Kayom. I didn't do it. I made Havdalah last night and I drank. And I had some vegetables to eat. I had some gefilte fish last night. I ate. But big tzaddikim observe Laila Kayom and they observe all the Hamisha Inuim. The one that you don't observe, the Magen Avraham quotes, is to, not to wear shoes. Because then you're going to be publicizing that you're observing a Melech Chassidus. The guy who always wears leather shoes, then all of a sudden on some guy is going to wear sneakers. There's going to be a dead giveaway that he is observing a Midas Chassidus. You're not supposed to publicize the Midas Chassidus. In Lithuania, they used to have a Lashon, used to have an expression, a galach has to be frum, a yid has to be erlach. Frum means that you advertise your religious piety in public. A guy never wears sneakers. All of a sudden, some guy is going to wear sneakers. So it's a dead giveaway. He's observing a midas chasidus of the chamisha inuim, not to take a shower and so on. But so galochim, that's what they do for a living. They have to advertise to their balabatim how pious they are. But a Jew has to be honest. A Jew has to be erlich. Tisha B'Av is a Taina Sibus. How come there's no Ne'ila? That's a very good question. How come nobody else asked that? That's a very good question. So the answer, Rav Soloveitchik said, I don't know if it says in the Ge'onim, should say in the Ge'onim, I don't know. Rav Soloveitchik said the answer is that on Tisha B'Av we leave out the line from the Kaddish Tizkabel Tzeloysan, because the Pasuk says in Megillah Secha, Gam Ki'ezak Vashaleh Asasam Tfilosi. And the Gemara says in the end of Perek HaZohav in Bav Metzia, Miyam Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Nin Alu Shari Tfilah. The Tfilahs are not answered the way they used to be, Bizman Shav Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim. So because Tisha B'Av is the day on which we bemoan the fact that the prayers are not answered, and the whole idea of Ne'ilah is Tosefes Tfilah. If you ask for the same thing 101 times, you stand a better chance of being answered than if you would have only asked 100 times. Gam Kisar B'Svilah, and then Yishamea. So the Gemara learns that, the Yerushalmi and the Bavli learn that from Psukim, that there's a concept of ribui tefillah. If you offer the same tefillah many times over, so nila, it means you say the same thing another time, another tefillah. So on Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is the day of Churban Beis HaMikdash, when we make note of the fact that the tefillahs are not accepted like they used to, so that's why it doesn't make sense to say ne'ilah. But Mikra Adin, it's a tiny sibah. He really should have said Nila. It's a special reason why we don't say Nila. The Gemara says, Bein Hashmashes of the other Taneisim is mutter to eat. Only Bein Hashmashes of Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur you're not allowed to eat. So Tosfos says, how come we always wait till the night after Tzom Gedalia, Shavuos B'Tammuz, Asara B'Teves? Wait till Tzeisa Kerchavim. Why don't we do what it says in the Gemara, that Bein Hashmashes is mutter? So Tosfos says, it's fudges. They don't give up too good an answer. So the Vilna Gaon has in Hilchas Hadlokas Neiris Shabbos, when he talks about when in this man and when is Bein Hashmashes beginning. So the Bi'ur Agro in Hilchas Tamach Aleph, I think, Hilchas Hadlokas Neiris Shabbos quotes that in Perek B'Memadlik, and there's a Machloikas Satanaim, Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Yossi, how long is the period of time of Bein Hashmashes? So Rabbi Yudah's opinion is that it's a whole block of time. It's around 25 minutes, 25, 35 minutes. We usually assume it begins right at Shkia. That's what the Balatanya and the Vilna Gaon assume. Begins at Shkia and it goes for 25-35 minutes. Depends which season of the year. Sometimes it's longer than other seasons of the year. And Rabbi Yosi's opinion is that it's not so. That Ben Hashmash is only keherafine, say half a minute. Which herafine is it? So the Gemara Nida has two versions, whether it's the last herafine of the 25 minutes, the block of time of Rabbi Yehuda, or it's the next herafine. So the question is, how do we paskin? Do we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, do we pass like Rabbi Yosi? So the Mishnah Berurah has a bir halach and hilchas erve tchumen, tucked away, hidden there. Nobody ever touches chelek dalet. When you have a Mishnah Berurah, six volumes, the chelek dalet is always brand new, not touched by human hands. Nobody ever learns hilchas erve. So tucked away there in the part that no one ever looks at, hilchas erve tchumen, who makes erve tchumen? So he has a bir halach where he writes a chiddush. We paskin like Rabbi Yosi. He thinks we paskin like Rabbi Yosi, meikar adin. That it's vada yoim, the whole 25 minutes until either the last terrifying or the next terrifying. So if you say it like that, it's vada yoim. The Gemara says you shouldn't do malachas the first 25 minutes after the Shki Erev Shabbos, because maybe the din is like Rabbi Yehuda. So if the Gaon takes it, it's a sveikah the din. Whether we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, pass like Rabbi Yosi. The Mishnah Berurah thinks no, it's not a sveikah the din. We really pass like Rabbi Yosi, and it's only a chumrah not to do malachas. We act as if it's Bein Hashmash, but it really isn't. It's not Ben Hashmash, it's still the last terrifying of the 25 minutes of the next terrifying. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, that it's Vada Yoim, and it's only Ben Hashmash is the last terrifying. So you got to wait till Tzeisak HaChavim. You're allowed to eat in half a minute. No, it helps a lot. You're allowed to eat Ben Hashmash. Ben Hashmash is only a terrifying. It's only a half a minute. And it's the last half minute of the 25 minutes. The Vilna Goyen holds that the Vilna Goyen doesn't say like the Mishnah Berurah. That we pass like Rabbi Yosi, that Ben Hashmash is only herifying. He says it's a sveik at Adina, because the Gemara in Bamem Adlikin says he shouldn't do malacha after Shkia on Friday afternoon, because it's a Safi Gam Safi Laila. And you shouldn't do malacha Matzoi Shabbos either, then it's a Safi whether we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yosi. When is Ben Hashmash? So the Vilna Gaon says it's not proper to eat Ben Hashmash of Tzom Gedal, you have to wait till Tzeis Gachavim. Because he uses an expression from the Gemara in the end of Perek Hazor, Trei Kulei Loi Mikilinon. It's not right to pile up one kula on top of another kula. See, you're going to have two kulas. One kula, the Gemara says, Ben Hashmash is you're allowed to eat on Gedalia. Then another kula, we're not sure when is Ben Hashmash. So it's a Sveikah Adina. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Hashmash begins right after the Shkia. According to Rabbi Yosi, it's not Ben Hashmash until 24 and a half minutes later, up to 25 minutes later, either the last terrifying or the next terrifying. So it's not right to make a double kula. Trei kula lo mikilin. But Lamaisa, that's a thesis in Tainus writes like that. Even though the Gemara says that you're allowed to eat Ben Hashmash of Matzoi Hatonis on some Gedalia, we don't do that. We wait till Tzeisak Kachavim, whatever that is. Someone told me he has classes. He won't be able to daven Maira till after the class until 9 o'clock. Once then, does he have to fast? He's not allowed to eat till after he davens Maira. So that's not so. You can nibble, you can eat before. If it's after Tzeisak HaChavim, you can eat. The Tanis is over. The only thing is, you're not supposed to eat a whole meal before you daven Ma'ariv. It's not proper to eat before Ma'ariv. Rabbi Kevega quotes on Mishnayis, the beginning of Brachas, and the first pair of Brachas, quotes the Sofik thing from the Trumas Hadeshin. Before Shachris, not only is there an Issa to eat a regular meal, there's an Issa to do Te'ima. You're not allowed to even have a Nash. Before he daven shachris, also he shlach da'achrei gevecha. The Gemara says you should first daven and then eat. So the Trumas Hadeshin has a suffix that applies to Ma'ariv also. You're not allowed to have tea before Ma'ariv. Usually assume that it does not apply. Just like before tkiyas, you're not allowed to eat a meal. To have a snack is mutter. To have tea is mutter. So before Ma'ariv also, everyone's mekel. So there's room to be machmer, but everybody's mekel. That te'ima is mutter. So some are mekel if you have a minyan kavua. That's a yeshiva. They always, everybody eats up and then they daven at the 10 o'clock minyan. So they always eat supper before they daven ma'ariv. It's a question whether that's right or not. Remember when I was a Talmud here in yeshiva, we were all very influenced by Rabbi Lichtenstein. So he was the older bacher. Everybody looked up to him. Then when he gave a shiur and at the head of the kollel, so he was more. So he always used to say, "There's a sefer Be'er Sheva, written by Talmud of the Sma, I think." So the Be'er Sheva, and the end of the sefer, he has a kunchvist that's called Esrim Geira. He has 10 kulas that he's not happy with. So this is one of the kulas. So Abraham is very used to always tell us over. Be'er Sheva says you shouldn't rely on the kula, that you're allowed to eat supper before you damar if you have a minyan kavua. He's not happy about that. Or if you have a shemer, because he says arba chaber boy, who says the shemer is going to remember? Shemer may forget. So that's shaila tonight. Is it every night? Is it proper to eat supper and rely on the fact that you're going to daven Ma'ariv at 10 o'clock later, minyan kavua? But as far as eating before Ma'ariv on a Metzoy Tanis, that's not really an issue. You are permitted to eat before.
What about Mincha?
Eating before Mincha. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about that. So the Pesach in Shulchan Aruch is, if it's a Suda G'doyla, let's say a wedding or bar mitzvah is going to take a few hours. Suda G'doyla, you're not allowed to eat even if it's Mincha G'doyla. And a Suda K'tana, even just a sandwich, not an elaborate meal, is going to take a long, long time. You're allowed to eat the Mincha G'doyla, but you're not allowed to eat if it's already Mincha K'tana. So let's say the summertime, everybody eats supper and then they go to Shul to daven Mincha Meir. So that's against the din. So they're relying on this kula, that if you have a minyan kavua, so that kula is highly questionable.
If he's learning in the shul, he may get someone involved, he's going to forget to go to shul.
But if he's learning in the shul, where they're going to daven, he's learning in the base medrash. When they're going to daven, he's going to be there. So then there's no chashash.
I mean, it's not like it would be in the same location, would be in the same room. You'd have to walk to another room. But is that?
If they're going to start Ma'ariv and he's going to Mincha, whatever, and he's going to be there, okay, so he's there, so there's no chashash, he's going to forget. But if there's a possibility he's going to get so involved, he's going to forget. It happens to me every so often. I start learning at home on Shabbos afternoon, and then I look at the clock. I say, I missed Ma'ariv, so I got to go to a different minyan, have to go to a later minyan. Yeah. You're supposed to learn, and you're supposed to learn in the place where they're going to daven, so you won't forget.
Shabbos,
there's an inyan of Tosefis. We don't, there's no Tosefis by Tzon Gedalia. I'll be Pasha, you know, I'm chuyif to add on. There's a Pirush, the Morgan Avram says that there's no Tosefis by Tisha B'Av. So the Minchas Chinah points out that the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah says not so. He says there is Tosefis by Tisha B'Av. It should be Moisim. But by Tzon Gedalia, I don't think so.
How much time after?
Is Tesel Kochavim? 25 minutes, 35 minutes, I don't know, it's not so long. We have the chart downstairs. It tells you when there's manimo. Yeah, when the Balkari lanes on a tiny Sibi, he lanes, Vayavisham Apanivik, Hashem Hashem Karachman Chanun. So meaning everybody says along in Hashem Hashem Karachman Chanun. So some, I think the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that, oh, the Chazan says, when they open up the Aron Kodesh, and Vashani Amper, everybody says Yud Gimel Midas. Many communities have such a meaning. So the kids of Shulchan Aruch has a meaning that you should start from the beginning of the pasuk. We have Hashem upon Vayikra rather than starting from Hashem Hashem. What's the reason? Why do you have to start from the beginning? Kol Psukah de Lepaske Moshe doesn't apply whenever you're saying it derech tchina. So why can't you start from Hashem Hashem Karach Mechan? So some explain because Tesis and Rosh Hashanah has a machlokes of Rishonim. Where did the Yud Gimel Midas begin? So some of the Rishonim say Vayavah Hashem upon Vayikra Hashem : Hashem Kal Rachman Chanun. You shouldn't say Hashem Hashem Kal Rachman Chanun. The first Shem Hashem belongs with the first half of the pasuk. Hashem Panah Vayikra Hashem. Then the Yud Gimel Midas begin from the second Shem Hashem. So if you say start from the beginning, Vayavah Hashem Panah Vayikra, so you're safe. So you didn't say anything that's incorrect. Rabbi Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tmima, was a Levi, like his father. The author of the Aruch HaShulchan was a Levi. So he had an uncle, Aruch HaShulchan's brother, who used to, who was a character. So whenever he got to second Aliyah on a Tainus Tibur, he would insist that the Balkar should give him another pasuk, because the Gemara says in Megillah that every Aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and you have 3 Aliyahs, so one of the Aliyahs has to have 4 psukim, because the sum total has to be a minimum of 10 psukim. So you just have 3, 3, and 3, 9 psukim. except for Rabbi Yova Amalek is Shalom and Yonah, so that even though it's only 9 psukim, that's okay. But normally it's not Shalom and Yonah, so you have to have 10 psukim. So the Gemara says the one who has 4 psukim, that's a fatter aliyah, that's a more chashuv aliyah. So here today, the Kohen gets more than 4 psukim, and the Shlishi gets more than 4 psukim, and the Sheni, the Levi, is only 3 psukim. So Baruch Epstein writes in his autobiography, he had an uncle who was a character. He was also a character. And when he would get an aliyah and a tiny sibur, he would just refuse to say the bracha shenasa lano unless the Balko would give him another pasuk. He's not cheating the shlishi out of anything. The shlishi is going to get more than 4 psukim. He's going to get more than an psukim. Interesting. He was a character. If some gedaliah is a nitche, Tisha B'Av is a nitche, and so on, then the Bali Bris are permitted hisanina v'lo hishlamnuhu. If it's a yontav shalanu, you fast till chatzos and then you eat afterward. The 3 Bali Bris, who are the 3 Bali Bris? The parents are one, the father and the mother, then the moel and the sandik are considered the 3 Bali Bris. So that if it's a nitche, then the Bali Bris can eat. The rest of the people have to wait till Laila. You have the sudas of Bris by Laila, but the 3 Bali Bris eat after chatzos. So that's a diyun. Some wanted to say that some Gedalia always has the status of a Nitche because he was killed on Rosh Hashanah, he wasn't killed on the 3rd of Tishrei. So they don't follow that opinion. Since it was established for Gimel Tishrei, so it's not considered a Nitche. We don't always consider it a Nitche. There is an opinion, the Magen Avraham quotes, there is an opinion that even if the Tonis is not a Nitche, the Bali Bris are Hisanina v'lo Hishlamnu. But we don't follow that opinion. When Rabbi Yashiv, when he had his surgery, he was already 95 years old, had his surgery, so the doctor told me he's not allowed to fix. So he was healthy all the years. He used to be very tall, and he used to walk there like this. He was very strong, very thin. He was always very healthy. And then in old age, he had to go with a walker. So the first tonus after he was after he had the surgery, he wasn't allowed to fast. So the first time in 95 years that he didn't fast. So it wasn't a nitre. So he asked. There is an opinion in Magen Avraham. He wants to choose Maram Leblin that even if it's not a nitre, the Bali Bris are allowed to eat. So he asked. Maybe there's someone making a bris today. They should ask around. Maybe the grandfather will let me be the sandik, so I'll have a head to eat because the sandik is one of the 3 Bali Bris. So they said, maybe there's a grandfather. Of course. So starting from that time on, almost every day he was a sandik at a bris because they always insisted that they wanted him to be the sandik at a bris. Sometimes being the sandik at 2 or 3 bris, one after the other. The Americans and the Sephardim did it. The Israelis, they never asked him to be a sandik by bris. The Americans liked that shtick. He used to always ask Rav Yashiv to be the sandik and the bris. The din is that pregnant women and nursing mothers are not mechuyev to fast on the other tanesim. The Gemara says Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur they're supposed to fast, but on the other tanesim not. We automatically declare that they're chol l'shem b'sakana. Chol l'shem b'sakana is permitted to eat. So the Ramah quotes a minig that the muboris and menikas should fast if they feel healthy, if they're up to it. If they don't not up to it, they should not. And others say no. Rabbi Elbada Soloveitchik was with the Yodua like that, famous, and Rabbi Soloveitchik also like that. He said the Muboris and Manikas, Medina and Gemara, they're not Mechuyiv to fast. So they said they're not going to gain anything if they are going to fast. They're not Mechuyiv. So they're not accomplishing anything. If you fast without a Kabbalah Steinus or without a Chiyiv Minatar to fast on Yom Kippur or Takonim of the Rabbanon to fast on Tishba, if you fast without a Chiyiv, so you're not accomplishing anything. So the Muboris and Manikas are not Mechuyiv. On Tisha B'Av, a Chodesh Emes HaKona is allowed to eat, but we're not so makel to declare automatically every Mimberes and Menikah is a Chodesh Emes HaKona. Then judge, is she unable to function normally or not? Shulchan Aruch talks about having a chuppah on Asar B'Tevis. It just says you can't have the Suda, so you have to have the Suda Balaylo. But the Mishnah Brura in the Bir Aloche quotes a Sofik from Achrayim that maybe one should treat the Tanesim like Ben Amtzah, just like you don't take haircuts and you don't have Nisun Vitisperis, a mitzvah, a light form of avelos, and maybe all of the Tanais may have a din like avelos. Yeah, but it's in contradiction to the Shulchan Aruch. The two pages in the Mishnah Berurah are facing each other. One page he quotes the Achronim that you can have a chuppah on a tainis. Then the other page he writes a suffix, maybe tisparis and isumin is asa. So the famous against the Ramah. Ramah says that you may have a chuppah. We pray every tainis, we pray that all of these tainisim should be converted to yimei sasam simcha. That's what the Navi promised. The day should come that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt and we won't have what to fast about. Okay? So,
Shemar 11:30.
Tomorrow? Tomorrow Shemar is 11:30. What time is Mincha? 2:30.
Well, the program at 1:15.
Oh. Program. Okay.